This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours. To be queer. Hello, Houston and Galveston and the world, and welcome to the latest edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be your co-executive producer for the evening. And Chris Harrison would be saying that he's going to be your co-executive producer for the evening, except he's not here right now. He is at the Marriott Medical Center Hotel, where they're putting on Convergence. It is an annual conference of the big men. So we'll be coming live from him at with him at 1:30. We'll be doing a live remote from 1:30 until about 3, finding out what's going on at the convention and what all kind of fun they're doing over there. And in the meantime, for our After Hours Quickie, we've got a couple of folks here tonight.
I can't hear a darn thing.
You can't hear a darn thing. Well, maybe you need to turn up the volume on your headphones. That might help.
There we go.
There we go. See, we're uptown. We got volume on our headphones.
Cool. Oh, we're so high tech.
I've got folks in here from the Misfits and the Cult 45s. This is Cult 45 night, first Saturday of the month. And the cults are going to be sharing their space with the Misfits because there is a big deal going on. Oh, speaking of the Cult 45s, I see.
The Grand Poobah.
Yeah. President has just walked in the door.
Not that president.
No, the one
they'll shoot.
No, the one we like. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
Very good.
And you are?
Tired.
Is that what I should call you for the evening?
Oh, no, you can call me a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
Oops, pardon me, Lord. I drive everybody crazy. I'm Stephen Bunch.
Hi, Stephen.
First president of the year for the Colt 45.
The impeachment has to come through.
Well, does that make Tommy the first lady, then?
Well, no, you know, Tommy's just a lady in waiting.
Oh, okay.
He's been waiting a long time. Oh, sorry, Tommy.
Ouch.
Oh, he's asleep, so we can say whatever we want.
And Falcon is here also.
Yep, I'm Falcon.
Hello.
And we got a couple of guests here from the Misfits.
Yes, we do.
Introduce yourself, guys.
Hey, hi, my name is Renee. I am the current president of the Misfits.
Turn on the webcam. Turn on the webcam.
And I'm Scott. I'm the vice president of Misfits.
Cool. What's going on that you guys are here tonight?
Well, as far as the Colt 45s, we do have a few announcements we're going to do.
Oh, okay.
And then we're going right into the Misfits. We do have a show coming up this Friday, September 8th, from 7 to 9. Now you watch, checking your watch already. From 7 to 9 at the BRB. It's called the Heartbreakers and Hairdo Show. It's probably one of William's show. We got this. We got Helen Highwater doing all these shows, and she's just a hoot. So
that's
Aurora
Breyer, isn't it? Doesn't Aurora have something to do with that? Isn't she?
Very well could be, because there's a lot of shows coming up pretty much almost every other weekend, every 3 weeks, for the next couple months. We also have on November 12th, we have our Fall Harvest, running from 8 to 11. And oh, okay. We normally have a dinner there, and that's going to be at the BRB. And have we discussed what we're going to do as far as the Christmas show, as far as the trees?
Or yes, we've decided to have it.
Okay.
Oh, good. The trees, we were, you know, everything's up for debate, but we were after, we were going to save a tree this year, conservation, and do wreaths instead.
Yes. So coming up on December 17th, our Christmas show from 8 to 11, we're going to have, at the BRB, we're going to have our annual Christmas show. And we can start saying some horrible things about Jimmy right now because he's on the phone. He's not even paying any attention. So let's start saying all the gossip we have about Jimmy. So what do you got, Scott? You probably know him the best.
Well, I first met Jimmy back in the 70s. We were auditioning for a part of Porn Brothers, brothers who ran this porn studio on the TV series The Streets of San Francisco. Oh, I'm sorry.
And, of course, we have on September 10th, we're going to turn this over to the Misfits at this point because they have a great announcement, and they have a upcoming ball, so go ahead, guys.
Right. We have the our annual Misfits ball. It is coming up next Sunday, September 10th, at Numbers. It is going to be from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. 9 p.m., that's plenty of time to get home to watch the episode of Desperate Housewives.
Yes.
That night. And we are going to have, it's a fundraiser. Our beneficiaries this year are the Colt 45s.
Yay!
And their AIDS emergency fund, as well as the Lazarus House.
Yay for Lazarus House.
Lazarus House.
I love the place.
So it is set for it's going to be at Numbers, the club on Westheimer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great venue. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got silent auction items that are going to be up for bid. We have a lockdown that's going to be a... kind of a fun get a warrant out for your friend and put him in jail kind of thing game, a fundraiser.
Hey, Jimmy, have you been in the cage yet?
Not that one.
Well, that's always kind of a centerpiece of the Misfits ball.
Yes, it is.
It's our lockdown game. And
how does that work?
What happens is that our guests at the ball will pay money to have their friends, or maybe not their friends, arrested and thrown into the Misfits jail cell. And of course, it's up to the people who have a warrant out for their arrest. We give them 30 minutes to raise the bail, which is basically matching whatever their friends paid to put them in there in the first place. And if they don't raise their bail, well, they have to go to jail.
Raise the bail.
So this is the only warning I have for Ronnie Siebert. The mail line is going to put you in jail if you're there. So I hope you're listening, and this is the only warning.
It is my abject fear to be put into that cage and have no one want to bail me out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you have time to raise the money. You have 30 minutes to raise your own funds and not be put in the cage.
Well, and the ball does last for about, 4 hours? So there's plenty of time.
What's actually funny is a lot of people get in the jail cell and end up raising a whole bunch more bail after they're already in it.
Because
they're out in the middle of the floor with a light on them and, well, they can work it.
I see.
Now, one thing that we haven't mentioned yet is we do have a theme for the party. We are doing a spoof of the TV show Reno 911,
mm-hmm.
calling it Montrose 911. So your favorite misfits will be dressed to appropriately to follow the theme.
So how many are going to get in drag?
I'm sorry to say that we don't have a Rhenisha. We're hoping maybe some of our creative guests might come up with something.
Yes.
We do have some special things going on, and one thing that we do have is a special DJ for the event. Mr. J.D. Arnold will be spinning for us this year.
Nice.
Given us time for about 3-4 years now. Mm-hmm. Does a wonderful job, and we really appreciate having him out to it.
You bet. You know, I have this ticket.
Did you get a citation?
I got a citation.
And what were you cited for, pray tell?
That's my problem.
For nothing?
For nothing. I must have done something wrong.
Well, I don't know, Jimmy. I've seen your driving, and it is pretty.
Yes, it is
pretty safe. So,
safe.
Well, I wasn't in the car at the time.
You were under it.
I did want to mention that the tickets for the event are $10, which is a donation.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's cheap.
It is cheap.
That's a minimum donation.
That's a minimum donation. You're always welcome to do more.
Absolutely.
But I also want to mention that the Misfits underwrite all the expenses for this event. So 100% of any money that comes in at the door or any of the fundraisers inside the party are going to be split between our two charities.
Wow, nice. So that's very nice.
And it's going to be a fun evening. We've got some other games and other fundraisers that we're going to be doing that are not just fundraisers, they're fun activities that everyone can participate. So
mm-hmm.
it should be a great, great party.
I know a lot of people look forward to this every year.
I think the ring toss should be with live people, though.
we do have a ring toss going to be happening.
Yeah.
It will surprise those that come to the ball in terms of what they're ring tossing.
But we'll have games. We will have a 50-50 raffle going mm-hmm. on, and, of course, the silent auction. So we'll have a lot of different things to bid on. We've got quite a few things out there. I know we've got some theater tickets. We've got some dinners, some special items.
We've got some stuff that's been donated by some of our partners over at the leather stores mm-hmm. here locally and in Dallas.
Nice.
So it's going to be fun. And there's a lot of opportunity for coolness.
Coolness. And it's early enough that
right.
you can have a good time and still have a good time later.
And it is a Sunday night, so it's we recognize school night, so mm-hmm. we'll send you home by 9 o'clock.
Yeah, we do it 5 to 9, so it's plenty early in the evening that you shouldn't be too bleary-eyed the next day at work, although some of our members tend to be. I don't know why.
We do hope that people come out and theme. Dressed up for the part of either Trailer Trash or, Naked Man Running.
that's the part I'm hoping for.
We do have to say that, of course, we encourage anyone who wants to come out and do leather or uniform or anything like that. We, of course, encourage anybody come out in the fetish wear. We do ask that you be street legal. And we will have a clothes check available there. So if you don't want to wear quite what your fetish wear is, walking in the front door, we'll have a facility for you.
Oh, that's nice.
Right,
that's
check nice. Your stuff.
Now, I think Steven.
Check.
Can you fill us in on how they can donate money to us directly if they do the spiel
to the Colt 45.
The Colt 45 spiel.
Can I throw one more misfit thing in before we turn it over to the Colts?
Meet the Misfits.
Yes. No. If you'd like any information on the Misfits Ball or anything that's coming up, please visit our website. It is www.misfitshouston.org.
Okay.
Now, one's got his personal phone number. It's two.
If folks want to just come, they can buy tickets at the door.
You can buy tickets at the door. Good. If you'd like to buy one in advance, it's all the same price. But see any of the Misfits members or contact us through the website.
Right. I know we have the Colts here tonight, and this event is benefiting both the Colt 45s and Lazarus House. Mm-hmm. So before we get to the Colts, I'd like to say, as a client of Lazarus House, I'm very happy that you're doing this fundraiser for them. I've just been a client this year, and 2 months of this year I spent in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, in 1 year's time, or half a year's time, I guess, I've gained 2 inches on my thighs.
Excellent.
And an inch and a half on my arms.
That's on the thighs, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm hoping one day that my legs will meet. I've never in my life have I had arms this big. I have always had really skinny arms my whole life. But those folks over there not only make you work, but make you want to work.
Well,
it's such a great atmosphere for exercise and nutrition. I've never been to a place like that in my life. I have spent the last 7-8 years trying to get above 130, and after 2 months there, I was 135.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable.
They and just so everybody knows what the Lazarus House focuses on, it is basically exercise and nutritional support for. It's not HIV-AIDS specific, but a good part of their clientele is HIV positive. But they focus on degenerative muscle loss through disease. So,
right.
So it's building these bodies back up. And
whether it be HIV or cancer or even MS or even problems in an automobile accident.
Right. It's a comprehensive wellness program.
Yes.
And Danielle and the staff over there, I've gotten a chance to get to know some of them. This is the first year that they've been a beneficiary for us, and I've just been really impressed on not only how much they do, but how much they do on how little money they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are really delighted to be helping them out a little bit this year. Hopefully we can, raise some good money for them. And of course, I know we've got the Colts here to talk about what they do. Both these organizations are wonderful direct assistance organizations that are helping out our community, and we're really pleased to be able to support them this year with the Misfits Ball.
Yes, thank you. Now, from the Colts' point of view...
Well, I was going to tack in there, too. It's really nice to have different organizations that not only just... They don't just throw money at you, but sometimes it's nice as an organization that you can be a part of and help support. Misfits Ball has always been that. There's a lot of people that show up not expecting or not knowing what to expect, and I think that's what some of the fun aspect of the Misfits Ball is for myself, is even if it's been being a beneficiary or
just
going out and just watching people.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say real quick is to have dual beneficiaries. Somebody had asked me, if they could donate money or to help the Misfits Ball, and they said, well, but it's going to go to both beneficiaries. It won't just go to you. But I think some of the nice thing is with some of the small organizations like the Colts, we get to work together, and so many of our clients, we've either referred them to Lazarus House or they've come to us from Lazarus House or to different organizations, and some of the small organizations tend to work together or refer and pick up the little small pieces that some of the the larger organizations can't. Now, I'm not knocking them. It's just there are some times that they can't do certain things. And Lazarus House and Danielle have always been extremely nice to us. Our clients from the AIDS Trouble Fund, anytime we call to ask for information on how they can get into the program or how we can help a client get in there, I think that's really nice.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize that we do referrals also. If we can't, sometimes we get requests for things that is outside of our means because we are basically helping with utility assistance and rental assistance
right.
in an emergency situation. They ask for us for, you know, drug assistance, so we refer them to the assistance fund
mm-hmm.
or
help with their pet.
Help with their pets, you know, and stuff like that. And there's so many different programs out there that the whole community does have to work together and know what programs are out there so we can refer. So we have no problem people calling up our hotline and asking us, you know, I don't know.
Sure.
Because we, you know, a lot of people think that we're just servicing the gay community. We're not. The Code 45 definitely is.
Right.
We don't discriminate against anybody.
Same thing with Lazarus House.
Right.
Yeah. The only thing you have to have when you're asked for assistance from the AIDS Trouble Fund for rent utility assistance is a valid diagnosis from a physician that you do, in fact, have AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we don't care. It's not that we don't care. We don't keep those records. Man, woman,
we don't know race,
religion,
nothing.
Sex. We're just there to help people who have AIDS, who need help to get by, to get back on their feet, and hopefully never come see us again.
Yeah.
And that's a bad thing to say, but we've had a lot of people call and send us over the years letters, even donations. You know, here's $50. You helped me, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when I got back up.
Wow, isn't that nice?
It's really nice that we're not assisted living. We are... to help people get back on their feet and to get by.
Yeah, emergency.
Emergency
funds. And thank God you're there. Because if not for you, there'd be a lot more homeless folks.
Right.
You know?
And that's what we're trying to prevent because, you know, just by guessing, you know, we look at the names, of course. We assign a number, so everything we talk about in our meetings is a number. But as being part of the board, we know the real names.
Yeah.
And... when we look at these names, we can kind of guess what is our demographic, how many is women.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because the application does ask if you have children. So we see all the time that we have single women with children. And when we look at their Social Security award letters, we see that not only do they have AIDS, but their children do too.
Yeah.
So, and we're trying to prevent these whole families from being evicted.
Sure.
And it gets kind of troublesome. And, you know, we kind of come up with ideas off the top of our heads, like, you know, this person's rent is way outside of their Social Security means. Why aren't they living, you know, combining their money? If they have the extra bedroom or something, bring somebody else in and combine their money.
Yeah.
And that's one of the recommendations we try to give out there, and some of the advice that we give is, you know, try to, if you have the extra room, bring in somebody who has the same situation and, you know...
pull your money.
Pull your money. You know, and I know it's difficult to find somebody like that. You don't want to disclose it when you're looking for potential renters, you know.
Sure.
It's not something that you put on the application.
Right.
So, you know, we try to... if people want to contact us about that, you know, we'll try to help them there, too. But, you know, that's our whole means, is that we're trying to give assistance for every aspect of making sure people are not... homeless or not in the cold.
So what other fundraisers do the Colts have coming up?
That was basically it as far as the list. We do have some more shows coming up that we'll announce next month. I'm sure Stephen will be here. But like I said, we got this coming up Friday. We have the Heartbreakers and Heritage show. I believe that's Aurora and Helen. Helen Highwater.
I'll be here next month. It's open bar.
I won't be here next month.
So
you're going to have a lot of fun with Steven all by yourselves. our two biggest fundraisers coming up in the next couple months will be our Fall Harvest on November 12th at the BRB from 7 to 9. And then December 17th is our Christmas show from 8 to 11 at the BRB.
Thank you, BRB.
Thank you, BRB, our home bar.
And thank you, Craig, and Tommy, Sue, and David. Good folks and, over there.
Why don't you go ahead and shoot out our phone numbers and stuff and how to contact us if you need help or if you want to donate.
You would think after years I'd have that memorized, but I had a had a little slip. And I, you know, and I just realized I came in late, and I forgot to say, it's fabulous to be here on KPFT, radio that talks... You know, I'll have to
radio
give this
that
spiel.
Listens
We're
to
not
you,
at the bottom of the hour, are we? So I don't have to do
no,
that.
No, no, no.
Okay, Dean. Well, if you need help, let me know.
Okay.
Our phone number for our AIDS hotline, or even the Colt 45's hotline, is 713-526-6077. That doesn't spell anything, but if you find something it does, then let us know.
Okay.
Or you can go to www.colt45s.org, and we have not only our contact information, but you can download an application for our AIDS Trouble Fund, or just give us some feedback, just say hey.
Or learn more about us.
Okay. Or be a member. Yeah.
Well, and,
yeah.
And on the
that.
On the Misfits side, you guys, thank you all for having us out here. We really appreciate it. And I do want to send a quick hello to Boo Boo.
Oh.
Yeah. Boo Boo. Curl up with a blankie.
No, we really appreciate everything that the Misfits has done
sure.
for us this year and in the past. Whenever we've called on the Misfits for help, they have been more than willing to step up for us.
That was gas.
Ooh, pretty.
Yeah, Misfits are a fabulous club.
They are. They are. Doing good work. And having fun while they're doing it.
Absolutely.
And now we want our money for saying that.
you get your money immediately after the Misfits Ball, September 10th, at number
5 to 9.
It'll be 5 to 9.
Big cardboard check
That's
just waiting
right.
for you.
Next Sunday night.
You know, those big cardboard checks, you can't get those in that little compartment in the drive-thru for that tube. You have to go inside. I found
know.
That out.
Big is so
I
bad.
But they Some look great. Be a real one, but this year it's a big cardboard.
They look great hanging on the wall, though.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
We'll have to break those up. We have some very nice thank yous from the Misfits throughout the years. This is not, it's not the first, it's not the second, but it's not, you know, they spread the wealth around, and that's a really nice thing about the Misfits. And just, I don't want to be do a program for the Misfits, but I will. But they've helped people hatch, and I can't think of a lot of different organizations.
This is fun, hatch.
You know, it's...
this is our eighth annual, and we've done... Not two every year, but I think we've done two most years. So this is probably about, I'd say probably about 15 local charities that we've chosen over the years.
Oh, fabulous.
But every year we ask different organizations to come out and talk to us, learn about different organizations, try to help, and, you know, see who we can really help with the amount that we think we're going to raise.
Right. And no animals were injured during the making of this Misfits Ball.
And also, just so you know, we also bartend on the third Sunday of every month at EJ's.
That's the Colts.
That's the Colt 45s, right. And then the Misfits bartend when?
We bartend the third Saturday at the Ripcord out on the patio. And there's always lots of fun to be had there, too.
Good thing it didn't get hot till September.
Give me a minute, though.
So let's talk about Jimmy again. He's away from the radio, and we can say whatever we want. And oh.
Well, it's getting down to the bottom of the hour, and Chris is ready to come online.
Chris who?
Chris Harrison.
Harrison. His name sounds familiar, but
yeah, I'll bet.
Hey, Chris. Lots of love, Chris.
You were doing a live remote from the conversion.
I'm surprised he's not too tired at this point. He's been partying for a couple of days now.
Oh, has he now?
Oh, yeah.
He's been telling me all about all the work he's been doing.
I think they started on Thursday.
Yeah. He forgot the party part.
Yeah, work. Do you know what room the hospitality is in? Because we're going to make a road trip down there right now.
Oh.
Yeah, if we hurry, we could probably be over there before he gets done with his column.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So we could be at the other end of this phone call real quick.
Jello okay. wrestling shots.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I want to say congratulations to the Big Men's Club, though. They put on one heck of an event. They've been working on it for a really long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Kudos. Thank you, Jimmy.
No rain. No rain this year.
No rain.
No rain. Thanks, guys, for being here, and good luck with Misfits Ball next
thank
week.
You.
Next Sunday thank at Numbers.
Yes, thank you.
Be there.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Okay. And now we're going to put a little something in your ear while Chris and I get set up for the live remote.
Surrender.
Midnight Cruise, Berlin Gay Society, 1903. Sigmund Freud's Vienna's high five identifies a homotype, the infamy of sex and heterodoxy. The gay wave moves across the sea, head over there, Miss Liberty. Betty Booth is hot and mooches out in the cold. Greenwich Village, Bloomsbury, gays in my society. Harlem at Chicago fights, Leopold and Lowe. Pride, pride, gotta have pride. Been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Hits the Broadway stage, the fleets and cat moves all the rage, and the well of loneliness appears on the sands. Flashing red lights, crystal night, Adolf shows Olympic might. Put on your pink triangles and put up your hands. A-bomb, 50s, Keen, McKinsey, shake the pot, you'll see James Dean. Vanishing, Doris Day and Harry Day. Donald Webster, Corey Wright, Joe McCarthy, fix a fight, J. Edgar Wright, oh, shame on you, what else do you plan to do? Since reborn, daughters of Belitis form, and we have our naked lunch in Giovanni's room. Marilyn, the picnic scene, Jackie's in her Cassini, Vatican II, and something's coming soon. Summer 1969, the heat is rising all the time, and over the rainbow, Judy Garland sleeps. Stonewall Bar, men in blue, heads were broken, bottles flew out of the bars and into the streets. Pride, pride, gotta have pride. Been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Boys in the band play Bette Midler, sang those bathhouse days. Lance Loud, gay and proud, Oscar Wilde bookstore, Sister George, Doonesbury, Tales of the City, Anita Bryant, Village People, Studio 54, Harvey Milk, Rough Trade, Aaron Fritz, Prom Date, Grid, Torchon Trilogy, Boy George, and GMHC, HIV identified, Rock Hudson, Liberace died, Reagan finally says the word, Bowers versus Harvard's heard. AIDS quilts, act up, Randy Shields, Fear Nation, Maple Thorpe, Daisy T. Amendment to Cracker Barrel, don't ask, don't tell, HX, cyber sex, march on DC. Greg Louganis, Selfie, John George Michael, what is going on? Lilith Fair, rowdy girls, spend a day at Disney World, Coonan and Scare them, Nick the Case, Ian Allen, Will and Grace, Matthew Shepard, God bless you, what else can we look forward to? Pride, pride, gotta have pride. We've been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Pride, pride, gotta have pride. We've been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Pride.
down across the trailer park. I get down, I feel at, feel on the verge of going mad. Then it's time to punch the clock.
Forever in our minds.
On our television.
Forever in our minds.
Television.
love is fair. I turn you the cheek, and I feel the slap and the sting of the foul night air. And I know you're only human, and I haven't got talking room. But tonight, while I'm making excuses, some other woman is making love to you. Somebody bring me some water. Can't you see I'm burning alive? Can't you see my face? Got another lover. I don't know how I'm gonna survive. Somebody bring me some water. Can't you see it's out of control? Baby's got my heart and my baby's got my mind. Tonight the sweet devil, sweet devil's got. Aching past, will this night be through? Wanna hear the breaking glass? I wanna feel the steel of the red hot truth. And I'd do anything to get it out of my mind. I need some insanity of that temporary kind. Tell me, how will I ever be the same when I know that that woman is whispering your name?
Walking down the street, and I'm a man. This is Chris Harrison coming to you from Convergence 2006 here at the Marriott Medical Center in the Medical District here in Houston, Texas. Some of you listening there is from the CD from the DJ we are using here at Convergence, DJ BC William. I can't tell you who we got there. Loletta Hollywood with Love Sensation. Bring it down a little bit further. Oh, let's turn it off. We're coming to you from Convergence, the national big men's event held here in Houston this year. And we've got a group of people in here. We're going to kind of expand on the issue that we've covered 2 years ago in a town hall meeting during East Coast Conference about the larger community in the GLBT. And we've had the discussion last month we had of the issues that face larger people. And so it's kind of the third part of our installment. And give you a chance to hear some of the voices from people not just Houston-based, from around the country. We don't have any of the this event here. We have people from other countries even as well. Switzerland, UK, Denmark, I think Puerto Rico is all represented at this event. Oh, yes, yeah, we're loving the Puerto Rican group. Yes, I'm breaking out my Spanish dictionary again. But for those that, what Convergence is, like I said, is a national gathering of gay and bisexual men of size and their male admirers. That's the PC way of saying it. Gay and bisexual fat men and the guys that like them. And so we're going to find out what it is that goes on at these, well, not everything goes on at these events. I'm in safe harbor, but not that safe. So let's, someone pick up the mic and let's start talking here about what sort of issues you've faced in the GLBT community. Come on, you guys just can't. I'm not going to do all the talking. What sort of issues we face in our community, from going into bars, going into even.
Okay, here we go.
There we go.
Right.
Go ahead.
My name's Doug. I'm an older man. And I've been large a good part of my life, and for many years did not feel good about it until I accidentally dropped into Convergence in Chicago many years ago, and I saw all these big men having a great time, and I thought this was rather an interesting approach. And then 6 years ago, I went to my first Convergence and realized that there was a lot of nice, big men there, bigger than me, who felt good about themselves, and it helped me grow through some issues that I needed to, and I decided it was okay to be who I was. And since then, I've done a lot of growth and a lot of interesting things in my life. And what I'll just share real quick, that's very personal, I found out 6-8 months ago that I had a gay grandson who was very out and very neat kid, and very active, and I was able to be a part of his recognition of that when he graduated from high school and received a Matthew Shepard scholarship and was an instigator of Gay Straight Alliance in his school. And much to the chagrin of his mother, I was very supportive, and I went to the banquet and saw him get honored, and his father was there. And he finally realized that his son was okay, and it was neat to watch it. And I came out to my grandson, and then I came out to the rest of my family. And so all my doors and all my issues that I started working on 6 years ago have been a part of this group. And I appreciate that support and help of growing even further. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Because, I mean, we're dealing with an issue where you previously married.
Right.
Children.
I have 9 grandchildren. Nine grandchildren, 3 children. Thank you, darling. Sorry about that, no, folks.
The fact of part of your coming out, that basically you had to come out as a fat man before you came out as a gay man.
Oh, no, I was gay many years ago. I tried to play the straight game.
Oh, straight game.
You did that in those days. you got married, you had families.
You were told to. That was
who you were told to. And I went through that whole period, and it was not easy. And a lot of guys really got screwed up. And fortunately, I was crazy enough to get through it. And it's not something that you wished everybody had to go through, but we did. And young people today have much more opportunity to be open and to be gay and to like older gay men and fat men.
Yeah.
And it's kind of neat. It's really neat, really. I think it's wonderful.
I mean, the interesting thing of how the activist turn your grandson has done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you told me before, who presented the award to him?
The governor of his state gave him his award, and the governor of his state is very supportive of gay and lesbian issues, and his wife is very active in the gay and lesbian support area in the state of Iowa. And when I left Iowa...
Iowa?
25 years ago, Iowa was so conservative.
Yeah, I mean,
and
that's the thing.
They have a Democratic governor. That's why. I mean, they have... Actually, they've been rather forefront in a lot of issues. And I was very pleased to see what they were doing. And they have this foundation. This banquet was 400 people. And these kids were getting all these awards, and it was so neat.
Yeah, I mean, that's the important thing. What we talk about a lot with this radio show is, you know, building up the next generation of activists. That, you know, my generation had a different set of issues it went through than your generation.
Oh, definitely.
And, you know, some of the doors that are now open for the next generation, you know, it's in... A lot of it is based off of what had come before
us. Right.
And that's one of the things with our segment that we have with the Hatch Group,
yeah,
which is the teenage group here in Houston. You know, seeing this next generation of activism.
He and I have agreed that over the next times that we get together, I will share my issues with him, and he will write them down,
sure,
put them in print for himself and for others, and I'll share what I went through and be supportive of him and what he's going through and growing. And he's co-editor of a new out youth publication, and he's talented. Most super kid. I'm so proud of him. I'm sorry, folks.
Well, not bad.
And he is so proud of me because I came out to him. And, you know, it's just really weird. And then I came out to the rest of my family, and I've opened all the doors and got out of all the closets that I've been carrying around with me for 50 years. And it's neat.
Sure.
It really is.
So who else wants to talk about, you know, the issues of size you have in the community? Okay, so we press around. Unfortunately, with our technical difficulties, we lost some of our audience. Hopefully, they're going to be coming back here. Use a fake name if you don't want to be known. But usually, you can't get Berkey away from a microphone.
That hurts my feelings. It really does.
But, I mean. So we've got someone here, one of our guests here at the show, is in the entertainment profession.
Yeah, I'm a stand-up comedian. I travel as far over the country as I can get right now. One of the big problems with being a gay comedian is if you're working in North Dakota or South Dakota, a state where it's still perfectly acceptable to stone gay people, it's not very... I can't talk about being gay on stage. And then for people to find out that I also like fat guys, that's another frightening aspect of where I'm from. And I do a joke in my act where I do say that I've worked a convention, performed for 400 fat gay men, dinner shows. I heard 2 chants that weekend. We want food and take it off. And in my act, everybody thinks it's very hysterical, but they also think I'm straight at that point in my act. Mm-hmm. And I cannot come out to the audience saying that I also had a fantastic time at the convention because I was enjoying the company of the large men. And that's my biggest thing right now is that I heard the inspiring story here, and I would love to be able to come out to the audiences in North Dakota and South Dakota, but I don't want to run down some dirt road with rocks being thrown at me. And I make North Dakota and South Dakota sound far more gay or homophobic than they really are. No, I don't. They're... And I'm actually amazed that... Well, I wasn't so amazed that you said Iowa was a very progressive state. Iowa is actually an anagram. Incredible orgasms with animals. And it's not... No, it's incredible orgasms with animals. It's not a pleasant place.
But I mean,
I'm just going to bash the rest of the 48 states, and we'll just.
Now, in your other act, when you go to the major cities, do you come out as either a gay man or as a chaser?
In the major cities, I will come out, and usually after the show, somebody will come to me. Okay, now the show you did for the 400 fat gay men, what? Because once they realize that I am actually gay, then they start to wonder. Wait a minute! At the beginning of the show, you said this. Then you admitted you were gay. You don't really like fat guys. And it's always a weird question to me. It's like, well, of course I like fat guys. Why else would I do the convention? Every year.
I mean, you actually get people come up and go, you have dissecting a routine about that part?
Yes, I've had people actually dissect that part of the routine. One lady actually asked me what I had been doing to raise the money. Part of the joke is I say that I made $375 after taking my clothes off. And some lady actually said, what did you do to get that money?
Put it back on.
No, actually, I didn't put my clothes back on to get the money. There was some rich guy there. He gave me $100 to take off my shirt. That was where most of it came from. The rest of it was taking my pants off. You really should have been in Minneapolis in 02, folks. It was fantastic.
Don't ask where you swipe the card.
I got to step in and let everyone know who's listening on the radio that you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. This is Chris Harrison. We're coming to you live from Convergence 06 here at the Houston Marriott Medical Center. Talking about issues of the gay community and the larger part of the gay community. How many of you want to talk about an experience you may have had in, the gay bar where you get that, the dagger shot out of the eyes at you, like, how dare you come in here and, be a part of, this the gay community that I always talk as being so superficial.
So basically what you're saying is you want to know what it's like to be sitting in a bar, see a very nice-looking large man walk up to him, start hitting on him, and have everybody else in the bar look at you like you're insane?
Yeah.
It's strange is what it is. I like what I like, and that's all there is to it, and I'm not going to take any crap from these morons. They like what they like. They should be able to accept me for who I am and what I am, and what I want is my decision, not theirs. For them to look at me with disdain or any other thing is completely inadequate as far as I'm concerned.
Someone else want to jump in? We've got enough people to share. Pass the mic over.
Okay, well, I've had the experience, of course, you just walk into a bar, and if they're not looking at you like, just what in the world are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Then they're just totally ignoring you, and it can be very, I guess you could say, disenfranchising.
Yeah,
I guess would be the term. And it totally actually turned me off of bars. Totally. I mean, apart from the fact that I actually rarely drink myself. Just because I just don't like the taste of it mostly. But, tonight being the, probably the one rare exception. But, yeah, I just never liked doing that sort of thing. So, and sometimes, you know, when you've gone into clubs and stuff, that's even worse sometimes because, you know, obviously there's these people that are around and, you know, it's just, you can feel a lot of sexual tension in the air, but none of it's for you. That's the worst part, so.
Yeah, because, I mean, part of my experience with the coming out is, you know, I used to, my bar of choice for many, many years was JR's, which is a video bar. It's the college-age type bar here in Houston. And basically, I sat at the back bar and talked to the bartender. Got messed up quite a few times because I would look at the bartender and say, well, mix me something special. And just, you know, throw something together and... That's all I did. I didn't socialize. I didn't meet people. And then with finding a group like a big men's club, I started going out to bars and, you know, talking to people in the bar, talking to another guy. It's like, you know, flirting with somebody and, you know, having a better chance of it being received is an issue. And, you're, I mean, especially when you're talking with, I mean, I've always... made a point of saying, you know, it's we're in a superficial community, the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community, because, I mean, you see the images of what they say. No one in this room is going to be on Will and Grace, Queer as Folk. Some of us have been in, some of us have played in some of the in other movies and that with that. But, you know, we're a different sect of this community, and just trying to find that acceptance on that. What about in society in general? You know, because it's such a popular discussion of issues of larger people, and, you know, you get these weird things, you know, all the time you hear the latest thing about, you know, let's nip and tuck this, let's sew this up and put a rubber band around here. Even in my own community, I had a personal ad, somebody put a thing on there saying, you know, look at getting a gastric bypass. And it's like, yeah, no. So, I mean, what sort of things in general in society you come across, you have people, you know, the stares and the looks and...
A lot of the times when you're, you know, shopping, you're going out looking for clothes, the salespeople just kind of look at you like, what are you doing in my store? I went to, can we say store names? Okay, I went to a big department store, one of the major, you know, outlets. And I went up to the business, you know, the suits and the dress shirts. And I couldn't remember my shirt size, so I asked the guy if he could look at the back of my tag and tell me what the size was. And he looked at me, kind of looked me up and down and said, we don't have your size, you should try somewhere else. And I kind of looked at him, and I didn't want to, you know, I'm not the kind of person to make a scene, but I really just wanted to tell him, you know, get a better attitude about things. You know, I mean, I'm sure other people have had experiences like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's nicer ways of saying it, just saying, you know, basically.
Yeah, it just kind of blew me off, and yeah.
Because, I mean, we even have, the situation, some of the people who are attending this event, you know, even a big and tall store won't cater to us. And, I mean, that's an issue you run into, is that, you know, even where you think you're in a safe place with going to one of those, you know, we're extended sizes where you can only get us in the catalog. And, you know, you would think something like that would be a little more of accepting of that. But, I mean, with clothing issues that, you know, we don't, we pay twice as much for a little extra fabric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me and some friends were talking at dinner tonight about going to some of the more trendy stores in the malls. They make clothing in the bigger sizes, but they don't stock it at the stores. It's kind of like they don't want people who wear that size in their store to kind of screw with the ambiance.
Yeah.
They want
the twink, pretty, yeah, the pretty the, boy yeah. Twink, Abercrombie mm-hmm. and Fitch, you know. I make the comment, you know, I ordered from International Mail once before. I have a lovely hat. So, I mean, that's the sort of thing, I mean,
I did it. Yeah, we did have.
Excuse me. At one time, I think I saw an ad in International Mail, if we want to use that again, where they did have some larger sizes, and I about fell off my seat when I read it, but it only went up to 2X, and I says, oh, how brave of them to offer a 2X shirt. But my experience with clothing stores is there used to be some real private lines of stores that did cater and were very receptive. And I can remember at one time when I started getting large, I says, well, what do you do when you get a 285-pound football player come in here and want a suit? You're sure as hell going to find me one, aren't you? I says, but if it's some guy that comes in that's 250 pounds and he's only 5 foot tall, you're going to look at him and say, we don't have your size. And so, you know, I used to order from catalogs a lot and got good quality clothes. And now I have some made, but I still can buy in just about any big and tall store that I can find my size. And but yet that we know that you're going to go somewhere, and there are some good line stores who do have big and tall sections. You just have to ask for them. And
down the basement, around the
not
steam.
Not really, but they're usually over in the corner. But that's okay. I don't care because I don't.
As long as
I'm not dressing for somebody else, I'm dressing for myself. You know.
As long as they don't start pointing at your maternity wear.
Right. Yeah. But I don't know if that's as big of an issue as it used to be.
Well, I mean,
20 years ago, it was a big issue. You could not find big clothing.
Oh yeah, I mean, because I remember when I was younger. You know, mm-hmm. your choice was Haban.
Mm-hmm.
Out of New Jersey or Sansibelt.
Right. I love Sansibelt.
It was basically that.
Stretchy belt pants.
I never liked it because with me, it gets with that wide elastic band they had on, it always flopped down.
Oh, well, we all did that.
So that we don't get tangled up.
What is
you wanted to make? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have the cordless mics. We're old-fashioned here with the long cord.
The worst thing I've always encountered is where I work. Mm-hmm. They like to give out little tchotchkes, little, you know, T-shirts with the corporate logo on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, what sizes do they have? They have small, medium, large, extra large. And then they have a handful of extra, extra large. And they're like, do you want one? And they usually, I just have to take it anyway. And it's like, not really. And then they'll say, like somebody like my boss or somebody from HR says, well, we've got extra, extra large. And I'm like, well, do you have extra, 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 extra large? Because you can give me the extra, extra large. All I'm going to do is turtle wax my car with it.
My niece has a lovely collection of shirts that I got from one of the places I worked at. It's like, here's a kid's size. Here, you get a shirt. I actually had one company that I worked for that they had got company shirts, and they bought one for every one of the employees in our department. And they went out of their way. They actually ordered a similar style shirt in the bigger size for me and had it embroidered like everyone else's. So sometimes there are places that will work stuff with that.
Big issue of it.
Yeah.
But they accept the fact that there's
not. Yeah, I actually, you're not picking up on the mic. I'm looking down at my levels there.
Yeah, I had the same thing happen to me. They came around and said, what size of T-shirt do you wear? I says, well, you aren't going to have my size. And they said, oh, no, we will find you a T-shirt. And it will be just as nice as the others, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So whenever they did that, they always would come to me and they say, now, what size is it that you wear? And I always got one. And it was never, you know, embarrassment or, you know, they just were very polite and asked me. And I said, here, this is my size. Give me a T-shirt.
Let's see, there's also some of these parts with, like, the T-shirts we got here for Convergence. I forget the name brand of what it says for the larger sizes. And it's basically, it's a Hanes beefy T-shirt, but one of their little subsidiaries said, you know, let's start looking some in, you know, let's make bigger shirts in all the colors you have. And Hanes said, well, we really don't want to do that. Let's just give them, you know, black, heather, and white.
So they told the subsidiary, you guys want to do it, go ahead, put it under your label. They didn't even want to say Hanes. So it's,
really?
It's a different one. That's what I was told by our T-shirt people, is that's the story of that. So that's why, like, our shirts, the smaller sizes that we have plenty of still, it's there are Hanes beefy tees or something like that, and then these other ones are this other brand. It's the same exact shirt, made the same way, but they didn't think there's this market for the larger person.
Well, my name is Gary, and I'm from Laramie, Wyoming, and I never met a carbohydrate I didn't like. And I'm sort of, how do I say, not really a chubby, not really a chaser or a bear, somewhere in between. You know, I don't really have that problem yet in terms of going to a store. I've graduated from XL to XXL in shirts. I can still find pants, but... What? I'm sorry. No, but I haven't seen 40 since the Louisiana Purchase was in escrow. But at any rate, listen to our conversation, gentlemen. This is extremely important because we're talking about how we are treated in a gay environment or into going to department stores, which are oftentimes run by twinks. No offense out there for you 19-year-olds who've had your hips surgically removed. I mean, it's great. But the thing that really upsets me is argue for your limitations, and indeed they're yours. Because what you're doing is saying, well, I'm going to go into a gay bar. Immediately, I'm going to find rejection. If you send those endomorphs out, you're going to find that rejection. If you go in there, on the other hand, with going, I am a good-looking man of size. I'm not fat. I'm horizontally challenged. Deal with it. Give me two bar stools. Sit down and deal with it. And you know something? Bring them to your level, not the other way around. Because and in terms of our rhetoric, what we've been discussing, what's the first thing we've been discussing? Clothes. We're no better than the gay community than we're talking about of being superficial.
Yeah.
All right. So what? I'm not where, you know what? I'm just not a Vera Wang tonight, all right? So big deal. But the point being is, we're talking about superficial things here, clothes. Going into a bar and having acceptance. I've got a bigger issue and agenda I'm concerned with. First of all, if you look at the pecking order of being gay versus our lesbian sisters, who, you know, they don't see big as an issue. Gay men do. Lesbians, I mean, you know, it's like the old line about what do two lesbians do on their second date? They go rent a U-Haul. But at least they have a sense of nurturing and they will... I'll just a second. But here's my point. We allow this to happen. We set ourselves up for it. The most important issues to me right now is the pecking order that... Being gay, we're already ostracized, because even though I'm from Wyoming, I've been met by more homophobia in Houston, Texas, than I have ever been met with in the state of Wyoming. No kidding. Now, we have that going against us. Plus, we're big men. We're ostracized by the gay community, who themselves are ostracized. Remember, historically, the persecuted often become the persecutors. But you have to allow them to do so. My point being is that gay adolescents have twice the rate of suicide as non-gay adolescents. Has anyone thought about gay men, gay adolescents who are overweight? That's even a greater issue. To me, that takes and supersedes the issue of going into Rochester Tent and Awning and Lane Bryant for a drag outfit. That's what's important to me right now.
I agree with that. It's the fact that you have the situation where, you know, being a gay overweight teen, you know, you can be in the closet for being gay. You can't be it for size. So they're already got the bully factor on you.
Unless it's a walk-in, you got problems.
Yeah. But once you get that extra part of, you know, once they find out you're gay, of, you know, where you're going to go from that, of the potential of hurt, and that is something that should be looked at is how this is affecting the younger people. Because, you know, all we ever hear on television nowadays with, you know, the weight issue is, you know, they keep talking about younger and younger people are getting more and more overweight in America, and they're talking about plastic surgery for younger and younger ages. And as I said, you know, gastric bypass. Everybody's talking about that part now. And you know, how is it affecting the next generation coming in with those issues?
I think some of it also has to do, because he was mentioning before, some of it just has to do with us just being, in general, men. Because it just seems like everybody has their own superficial preferences. You know, think about it. Even with straight men, I mean, what do they go for? They go for the hot chick. They go for Angelina Jolie, you know.
There's no delineation between straight and gay.
Okay. But, you know, but the thing is, though, it's, oh, gosh. You know, you think of men, you think of, you know, they want the hot chick, they want the Angelina Jolies or the, oh, whoever's big and hot right now. Britney, no.
But no,
I was going to say Britney Spears. Yes,
But no, I mean, I understand what you're saying is the fact that, you know, in this, you know, in the straight world, it's all about, you know, the not just so much the beauty, but certain aspects of it, you know. You're into breasts, you're into the eye. Yeah, they lie when they say they're looking into the eyes.
And even us, I mean, here in this room, I bet I could pick somebody and say, what do you want, you know, in a guy? And they'll go right to the physical. Whether they want a chaser, a muscular chaser, a skinny chaser, an Asian chaser, you know, or I want another chub, or I want a, you know, a muscle man, or I want a, you know, it's just everybody has their own little preferences. I've got mine. I'm quite sure everybody in this room has got theirs as well.
Yeah, and I mean, that's part of the diversity that, you know, helps make this, you know, more interesting is the fact you do have different ages, different sizes that you kind of go in, and it's, I've always teased there. I pull up one of the personal lad websites, biggercity.com, and, you know, show the guys at the radio station and show them, you know, here's these 18 and 19 year old hot guys, and I go, and I've got these, you know, these 20 and 25 year old guys at the station. They're looking at me going, oh, he's hot, and look at that, and I go, he's not interested in you. And usually they start running to the snack machine. They're sitting there like, well, I need to gain some weight. And it's, you know, it's they find it puzzling when they see that sort of thing. The fact that, you know, we can consider ourselves to be beautiful and a sexual object, you know. I'm not just, and I mean, that's a big thing you have to do. And I mean, for years I lived in that belief. You know, I knew I was gay years ago. It's like, you know, you're fat, so according to society, you're dumb, you're lazy, you're unhealthy.
Slothful.
Yeah. You deserve nothing. You deserve no love, no respect. You should be thankful you get to breathe our air and be a part of the community.
And don't come into my house because you'll break the chair.
Yeah. And I mean, I did that. I had the issues of, you know, I wasn't going to try and find anybody until, you know, I got down to that smaller size, and, you know, things change. You when you find out that there is someone that's attracted to you, that you can establish that relationship for however, and you know, it was at that point, it was very uplifting for me. I changed 180 degrees and have been on a completely different path for the past 3.5 years of being more accepting of who I am, and it's to a point where, you know, I go back against that. You know, you go in the grocery store, the, you know, the restaurant, and some kids start staring at you. I stare back. You know, I do. And, you know, the part that gets me upset is, you know, when the kids start, you know, especially the younger ones who don't know the control, they go, Mommy, he's fat. Look at the fat guy. Look at him. It's usually a lot louder than that.
Mommy, like, there are the titties.
It's like, you know.
Oh, that happened to me, though. What happened to me once.
Mm-hmm.
Poor little girl. You know, she said, look at that fat guy. And she was sitting in the shopping cart. And I was there with my shopping cart. And she turned around. Even though her fingers were out of the shopping cart, I rammed the shopping cart right into her fingers.
Hey,
mean? Taught her a life lesson.
And her mom wasn't looking either. So.
Now you can't get her to sit on Santa's lap there. She's. Yeah, she was in a grocery store, sees Santa Claus, and freaks out. We'll see her on the 11 o'clock news there.
There's something I wanted to bring up to you.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, you through Jake.
Yeah.
That was Josh.
What?
You said Josh.
I said Josh.
Oh.
Josh.
I'm sorry, what? I picked a horrible font to do the badges.
Sorry, I've got a Alzheimer's. I forgot my train of thought, thanks to you.
We call that Amtracking.
Yeah, Amtracking. No, I have some timers. Okay, this is radio, so, you know, it's sort of like go back to Mommy Dearest when they're going, now we're going to take you far away to a very famous Hollywood star, Joan Crawford, and describe her house. Let's do some visuals about who we are and what we look like here in this room. Now, here I am, a you know, chubby boy from Wyoming who's working in Houston on and off, and looking around the men here, for those of you in the listening audience. Chris, the first thing I noticed about you was today I saw you here walk through the hospitality room. And my immediate thought was, what an extremely handsome man. I mean, a gorgeous face. I mean, and you know
thank
that. thank you very much. Now, the thing is that I noticed a beautiful face. And, you know, great-looking guy. And, okay, this is the one that kills me, my point. Okay, Josh, younger guy, very hip. I mean, great. Well, you had that Dorian Gray gene working for you then. But, I mean, you know, the way you're wearing your hair, it's very hip. It's very, I mean, the first thing I commented was, love the shirt you're wearing. It's, like, so cool. And then, you know, a lot of the other people, I don't know, but the gentleman in the Pink Floyd T-shirt over here just, I mean, look at these guys. We're all very handsome men. The couple here that, you know, the GU couple here, geographically undesirable, you know, commuting from Minneapolis and Houston. You know, great-looking guy. And then, you know, everyone around us. My point being is that look at us for visual. But there is one thing that I always hated when I was gaining weight. You're so good-looking. Why don't, you know, if you look so much better if you lost weight. How many have been through that one?
That happened to me 2 weeks ago. A co-worker, another gay man, just said, you're a good-looking guy. You're thinking about getting the surgery? Now, I'm a candidate for it, though, but that's another story and altogether, though.
Well, it would be. I mean, that's...
And that's the thing, also, because, you know, I'm here, and people are obviously liking you because of your size. But the problem is that... you know, in a situation like this, especially if you're looking for somebody relationship-wise, which is something more you would get on the web than, I guess, you would say at this convention, would be that, you know, you want to find somebody, obviously, who's going to love you as you are. It doesn't matter if you dropped 300 pounds or you go back up to a 1,000, tip the scales at 1,000 pounds. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, I guess
you have to love the skin you're in.
Exactly. I'm perfectly fine with the skin. It's just, you know, my doctor and also some other health reasons is saying otherwise, and it's being delayed and all that other kind of wonderful stuff. But it's just a matter of, you know, well, here I am. I'm talking to people and everything like that. But, you know, if I, you know, get the surgery and I end up getting to my target weight, which I've never, ever been in my whole life, so...
Well, you had to pass it on the way up.
Yeah, that...
You may not remember... may not have many memories from that age, but, you know... I mean, trust me, if you came out at 200 pounds, we would have known you beforehand. And we would love to meet your mom, but...
Your mom must have been a great cook growing up.
My mom wasn't, we gotta bet.
My mom made the joke when we teased her about food, and she would say, you know, well, look at you, you must be a good cook. I said, well, charcoal doesn't go through the system that quickly. But I mean, that's one of the issues, you know, with all the talk with gastric bypass, you know, I mean, being here in Houston, There's billboards. Well, yeah, the fattest city. Well, actually, we lost that title again. I think it was Detroit who
took
it over.
Well, it's most definitely the fattest city in Texas, though.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is this. That title, fattest city in the country, doesn't come from actually looking at the people. They look at the fact if your city has a lot of restaurants and not a lot of bicycle paths and not a lot of walking paths, they use that to figure out what they're saying. So it has nothing to do with looking at what the actual city is. But, you know, I see all these commercials all the time for the gastric bypass. You know, I had some guy tell me, you know, you should get a gastric bypass. And even when we did the article for the Houston Voice, our president is a candidate. President for the Houston Club is a candidate for gastric bypass. And the reporter asked him, goes, isn't it a little hypocritical of talking about weight loss, a weight loss solution, and being a part of a group that, you know, celebrates or at least respects a larger size? And, you know, his response was, you know, if you're healthy, you know, doesn't matter what size you are. But when you've got the health issues that come with some people on that, with the weight, you know, why do that? Why try and fit yourself into the model? Anyone have any opinions on the gastric bypass and the gastric binding and such? Your mic's off. Your mic is off. There we go.
I know plenty of people that have actually had it done. Now, for Dominic to actually get it done, he will not be a small man even after the surgery. But one of the important factors of going through that procedure is you have to follow the doctor's orders. If you do not, your health will still suffer.
I mean, you can cut the stomach down to the size of an egg, but if you fill it enough, it's going to stretch out. That skinny little Japanese guy is able to eat 53 hot dogs on the 4th of July in Coney Island because the stomach will expand.
Exactly.
And
you can always make the stomach expand, but making it retract is a little more difficult, and it takes surgery. And again, like I said, if you don't follow your doctor's orders once you have that done, you're not going to have the same kind of health that you had before. You're going to actually have worse health. I know someone that has worse health.
Yeah.
Because he did not follow his doctor's orders. He eats like all the wrong things, and he eats all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He has food addiction. They never treated the food addiction. They just did the surgery, and
I had a coworker of mine that had gotten the surgery, and I didn't know he had the surgery. And he told me later on. And, you know, at that point, you know, I might have still been considering it and all that. And then one day at work, he came by my desk and asked for a ruler. So I handed him my normal ruler I use, which is a metal ruler. He says, no, I need a plastic ruler. And I go, what is it for? He said, I ate too much and I ate too fast. I need to go to the bathroom and throw up. And it's like, what sort of a lifestyle is it that you have to do that? You have to become bulimic because you ate a breadstick.
Worked for Princess Diana before she died.
Well, the bulimia parts, you know, I mean, that's...
That's exactly the lifestyle it is. It's bulimia.
Yeah. But, I mean, the fact that you do that, and, I mean, just...
It's not a panacea is what we're trying to say, I think.
Because I'll tell you this. One of the things I will admire about this, you know, the Discovery Channel, every so once in a while, it seems like, you know, it's fat night on Sunday. You go through there. And finally, about 2 months ago, they actually showed someone who went through was looking to get the surgery and all that, and it didn't have a happy ending. You know, and I was sitting there watching it going, my God, they actually showed that you can die from the surgery. You can die from the planning. But then the good thing is they turned around and talked about the resort down in Mexico. So, yeah.
My name is James, and I've thought about the surgery quite a bit because I have problems with my knees and walking and several other things. And thinking about it, I did a lot of research on it. I also have several friends that have had the surgery. I have one that has done fairly good. He went from about 550 down to about 275, and has actually been able to maintain that for about 5 years now. I have another friend who had it and has had serious complications from it. He probably dropped a total of 50 pounds since he's had the surgery and now is over maybe 100 pounds heavier than he was when he had the surgery. So that's an example of where it doesn't work correctly. But one of the other things that I found out when I was doing the research is there are lifelong complications from the surgery that your body doesn't behave the same, that there are certain things that you'll never be able to do again. There are certain drugs that you'll have to take the rest of your life just to be able to survive. So it's not something that somebody wants to do unless it's very last resort.
I mean, you have to take vitamins because you're basically starving yourself to, if you stick to the plan. So, I mean, you've got the vitamins, you've got to take the supplements, you know, you take a chicken breast and puree it down so it's, you're eating basically baby food for adults on this thing. And like I said, I've had a couple of people, I mean, my sister-in-law came up to me one time and was asking me, have you looked at something, you know, to lose weight? And, you know, she tried to play the guilt card of, you know, my children have grown fond of you. And, you know, do that for them. But I'm healthy about it. I joke about the fact that, yeah, when somebody sees me, they look at me and they go, oh, my God, he must have, you know, diabetes. I don't. High blood pressure. I don't. You know, last time I had all that work done, my doctor looked at me and said, I wish I had your cholesterol count. You know, the only thing that she was worried about is the good cholesterol was a little low. But it's something that you get that stigma. If someone looks at that and they figure, you know, you've got to have this wrong, you've got to have that wrong. And, you know, there's been times I felt I didn't get a job interview because that's what people looked at and saw that portion of it. So, I mean, have you seen that sort of thing with, you know, say, employment or, you know, travel? Some of you traveled here on a plane, you know. What's it like out there just trying to get around in the, you know, in the normal day, being a large person? And like I said, I mean, we always talk about the airline stuff there, especially when we looked at seat widths of an airplane. And when I was getting ready for ECC, I found a website that gave you that information. And one of the chairs in the office had the arms that could move in and out to make it smaller. So I got some of my fag hags I had there at work, and I brought a ruler and I put it into the size that they said. And I said, they looked at the seat and I go, that's how wide your seat is on an airplane. And they go, I can't get into that. You know, and what sort of things you experience with the travel, that, you know, especially now with the extra security. I mean, take off your shoe and then, you know, don't give you a chair to sit on to try and put your shoe back on. Anyone experience that one?
Well, my name is James again, and I've traveled quite a bit in my job. I've always had trouble with airplanes. I generally have a bruise on my leg when I get to wherever I'm going from sitting in the seat because the armrest is stuck in my leg. A lot of times I can't lean back in the seat because it will recline when you're supposed to have your tray tables up and your seat back forward, because my leg is pushed against the button so that it will do nothing except recline.
By the way, there's like four heads here nodding there. I'm waiting for an arm to round up there to testify. Yeah.
The flight that I was on up here was actually a very nice flight because I'm a very large person. I was flying with my partner of almost 10 years, who is a very small person, so we were sitting adjacent to each other. So I actually had plenty of room because I was taking half of his seat also.
But at least it was an accepting invasion there.
Yes. It was accepting enough that the airline steward asked me if I wanted to move and was kind of shocked when I said no, I didn't want to move to a different seat. And then the steward went ahead and asked my partner if he wanted to move since I refused to. And he refused to move also and got another strange look from the steward, because here's this fat guy sitting on this little bitty guy, and neither one of them want to move to a separate seat.
Be careful with that. that escort. I used to be a flight attendant. It's either Sky Spot or Space
Force. Oh, no, that's all right. This steward was very, very nice. He also had a rainbow flag on his apron when he was serving drinks, and he had a human rights campaign button on.
A gay flight male flight attendant?
Oh, is it
breaking the stereotypes?
A gay man.
But I mean that's an interesting thing when you look at the cattle car system that we've got in the airlines, you know, that they try and get as many people on there, you know, for maximum efficiency and all the other bull that they tell you.
Yeah, and talking about airline security as you're boarding the plane, it's rather interesting. I always wear suspenders because I don't particularly like walking through the airport with my pants falling down. And I'm flattered that you would, but personally, I don't think that everybody in the airport would. And I know that it would embarrass my partner to death. So I go through the metal detectors, and they have this new thing that blows air on you, so it kind of cools you off a little bit. Don't know what it's for, but it was kind of fun. And then you go through the metal detector, and it's like it goes off. I forgot to take my watch off, and he wanted to know if I wanted to take my watch off and have it sent through the X-ray and try it again. I have to hold out my metal suspender parts to him and say, "Why don't you just go ahead and put me in the line to be wounded?" And one nice thing about that is they have chairs over there, so when you take your shoes off, you can have, there's a place you put them back on.
Yeah, I used to work with an airline briefly, and I was able to use my badge to go into the actual airport, but I still had to go through screening. And that was just the annoying thing we had here at Houston, is that there was no place to sit down and get a shoe on. It's like, you know.
When you're not ready.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's. Who else has flew down here and you had the issues and had to flag down the flight attendant to get the extension for the seatbelt?
I just automatically
asked. You need a microphone.
Okay. I just automatically ask for the extension. I refuse to buy one for $55. I'm cheap. But and you can buy them, and you can get them beautiful colors and everything. But I just walk by the stewardess as I get on, and I said, when you... flight attendant. And so I said, would you be kind enough to bring that back to me when you're through demonstrating? She said, no problem. You know, she bring it back. And I always return it. They always thank me, you know. And I said, there's just no reason to even try to get into this, you know, without one.
I've always been afraid, you know, they sit there and they do the little demonstration over the... Because the seatbelt extender, if you don't... You've seen it if you've been on an airplane. It's what they use to demonstrate how to operate the seatbelt.
Right.
So I've always felt, you know, one of these times I'm going to ask for that. And she's going to be sitting there showing the demonstration. And they go, here you go, fat ass.
No, they've never done that. They've been very polite, really.
There's no reason for that, though. I mean, I will say there's a difference.
Put the mic up.
In deference to the airline industry, because I was with Pan Am until they folded in 91. And the airline industry has really made remarkable strides in dealing with people of size, because for years when I was flying, we had to keep our weight down. And then, thanks to a Delta flight attendant who sued Delta because of weight gain, now the airline industry, their flight attendants now have four sizes of uniforms. We call them small, medium, large, and international. And so,
international.
You know, we now call 12 flight attendants sitting in a sauna, you know, gorillas in the mist. But
only because you're as big as the world, right?
Yeah, really. But no, the airline industry has gotten very sensitive to that. That's only my point. That's why I don't know why they still make those little bitty seats. And most flight attendants fight their weight to begin with. It's always been a big weight issue, because when I started with Pan Am, we had to look like Ken and Barbie dolls. Well, you know, not anymore. So I think they're a little more sensitive about that. That's all I was going to say.
I'll give a pitch on a website here to help you. If you're a traveler and want to find out information on seats, and a good site is called Seat Guru, SEATGURU.com. And you go in there and you pull up your airline, you pull up what plane you're on, and it tells you, do not sit in this seat. You can sit in this seat. You know, these ones here don't recline. And it will tell you what your seat width is and your seat pitch is on that. And it's a great site that we, you know, put links on to telling, you know, because it is an issue that, you know, I think
all the ones I looked at, the seat width was from 17 inches to a whopping 18 and a half inches.
Or what about the seat length? 28 to 31 inches pitch.
Yeah, the pitch. Yeah, but we have to be able to hear you. Unfortunately, these mics are pretty good, but unfortunately it doesn't pick up too much of the surround there. But yeah, I mean, the seat pitch is another issue that with people getting all cramped up. Just to let everyone know you're listening to After Hours. This is a special news and views special we're doing from Convergence 06 here at the Houston Marriott Medical Center. It's a national gay and bisexual men of size and their male admirers. I can't find a cuter way to say it. You know, just the with an easier way of putting it, that way of explaining it to people, that, you know, it's fat guys and the guys that like fat guys. But I mean, we can go more on you know, of talking with just some normal gay issues of, you know, from the different parts of where you are. You know, are you seeing the great strides in gay issues in your local communities, or is it still kind of, you know, you think you're back in medieval days still with that? Come on.
In Wyoming.
That's another. Let's. Yeah, I'm gonna pick on you here. We're gonna go more on this because
I'm tough.
I need filler.
I grew up on a ranch.
But you know, coming from Laramie, Wyoming.
Yeah.
Where you spend your time there, and you know, everybody in our community knows the Matthew Shepard story. And you know,
really, do you really know it?
No, because
can we play Paul Harvey? You've heard the news. Here's the rest of the story. I lived through it. I was living in Laramie. But ask your question. I mean, I'd like to.
Well, that's the thing is, I want to see is
okay. Yeah.
Was how is you know, this little town in, you know, Wyoming, and everybody, you know, thinks of it, you know, Wyoming, it's, you know, Wild West, it's the sticks and all that.
It
you
is.
Know, what was the change before and after?
That's, well, we talked about that prior to the show. As I said, I've been met by more homophobia in Houston than I've ever been met with in Wyoming growing up there. And I left, worked for an airline for years, came back, and I've been living there ever since, and got a job offer, came to Texas, and I basically just considered Houston the world's largest work camp. I just come here to work, and I go home to Wyoming once or twice a month. And I have to explain, in deference to Laramie, Wyoming, Laramie is a microcosm of Berkeley, Ann Arbor, Austin. It's a college town. University of Wyoming is a liberal leftist state university in the middle of a right-wing ultra-conservative cesspool called Wyoming. No, I love Wyoming. I mean, I can't imagine living anywhere else in the world, frankly. And I've been to a lot of places, but I love my state. It's a gorgeous place to live, and the people are really quite wonderful. Albany County, where Laramie is located, and it's also home to the University of Wyoming, is one of two counties that are blue counties in Wyoming. Staunch liberal Democrats in Albany County and in Teton County, which is where Jackson Hole is. When Matthew Shepard was murdered, the majority of town folks were going, any town in Wyoming except here or Jackson. I mean, I could see this happening in Douglas or Rock Springs or out where the LDS have the stronghold, Evanston or that area, but for heaven's sakes. Now, you've heard the news. This is and I will support the fact that it was a hate crime. No doubt about it. I was at his funeral at St. Matthew's Episcopal Cathedral. The Bishop of Wyoming was there, yada, yada, yada. The town was very supportive, even though Phelps is spreading his hate there. The point being is that the truth, and this never came out in the media, Matthew Shepard was a drug dealer on campus. He was a little tweaker, big into crystal meth. And what the whole thing was, it was a drug deal that went south. He was at the Fireside Bar, which was a rather gay and lesbian friendly bar in Laramie downtown on 3rd Street. And he was in there one night. Two guys were tweaking. They were coming off their tweak. They were out of money. He bought them a pitcher of beer. He was also openly gay. They also knew he dealt drugs. They were going to go back somewhere to his house. He was going to get some money and score some crystal meth for them. And he made his mistake of putting his hand on Aaron McKinney's leg.
who unfortunately had been raped as a child by his Boy Scout leader. And he was a nice little Mormon boy, and he just went through PTSD coming off his tweak, went ballistic, and hung him up on a fence to dry. But the fact was, and it was a hate crime, but it was a drug deal that went south. And Wyoming is a very conservative place. I'll be the first to admit it. Oddly enough, its state slogan is the Equality State. It was the first state to give women suffrage. It was the first state to have a woman governor. It does have a lot of things going for it in that respect. Currently, they have a very liberal Democrat governor there, Dave Friedenthal. Wonderful man, and he and Nancy are very pro-gay and lesbian. But I've been met by more homophobia and homo-hysteria in Houston, because when I came down here, I mean, I don't mind admitting, what Doug and I have in common, we're both preacher's kids. My dad was an Episcopal priest and also was a retired bishop. And the fact is, I decided to find an Episcopal church down here. I was actually told by the rector that I'm a sick person and he would pray for me because I told him I was gay. I was shocked that the Episcopal Diocese of Texas was all they are, Southern Baptists with a Catholic flair to them. I was shocked, because in Wyoming, it was just the opposite. The Wyoming delegation voted in favor of Gene Robinson's elevation to bishop, and we're very open to gay and lesbian issues. We ordain gay men and lesbians in the diocese. But my point being is, Wyoming has gotten a bad rap. But keep in mind, Houston has 5.5 million people, 495,000 estimated in the gay and lesbian community. The population of the entire state of Wyoming is only 495,000 people. Ergo, we don't have a lot of lateral movement. There's not one gay bar in the whole state.
Yeah.
A lot of gay-friendly bars, you know. But I've been met by more homophobia in Houston, Texas, than I have ever been faced with. And I've been out of the closet in Wyoming since 1974, since I graduated from UW. So I don't find living in Wyoming to be a come-down or being gay. I do here in Houston. It scares the ever-loving bejesus out of me sometimes.
Anyone else? Well,
I'm actually amazed that Gary's finding more homophobia here in Houston than he's getting in Wyoming. I've never been to Wyoming, so I really don't know what it's like there. But you've never been to South Dakota.
Oh, I have too. It's our neighboring state with 2 blocks of South Dakota.
Really? And what do you find there?
Homophobia like crazy.
Try working there. North Dakota, even worse.
Yeah, you betcha.
Wisconsin, they just don't understand, but, you know, that's Wisconsin.
South Dakota, yeah, I agree. South Dakota is a neighboring state of Wyoming, and those people are bizarre. But then you have Idaho, which is way bizarre, too.
I didn't care for Idaho either. That's...
Well, I'll never be a Miss America from Idaho.
How could you say I miss Idaho on national television? I'm sorry, it'll never happen.
Well, there are plenty of states where homophobia is still running rampant, and which is an unfortunate fact of life. Iowa, a progressive state, and we've spoken about that before, and we won't go into it again because it's a frightening subject, really. North Dakota, South Dakota, homophobic is a way of life there. And I actually know some people in North and South Dakota who are gay, and they are so closeted that they actually leave the state before they will even say hi to another man. And it's not a pleasant thing at all. And
you know what Denver says about Wyoming, says, you know, about why you go to a gay bar in Denver, and it's like, They're over here, because half of the gay bar at a gay bar on a Saturday night in Denver are especially on weeknights, are married closet case men from Wyoming who are going down to Denver on business, and they go hit a gay bar because they can't do this in Wyoming. So there is that closetness that exists there, definitely. But as far as hatred, it does exist, of course. I won't lie. But I've never been faced with it like I have seen here. To have a minister tell you that you're a sick person and he will pray for you, and he goes around preaching hatred against homosexuals. I mean, and I'll be glad to give you his name, folks. I have no problem.
You can't give his name, because that would turn into a hate crime. Other people would go get something against him. And
exactly right, and I won't. But I'm Jay Where's Parish is. No, I won't do that. No, that's it.
You're mean-spirited, Gary. Why?
Am I mean-spirited?
I'm teasing Gary. And
I'm sorry you picked that up so quickly. I try to hide that.
I mean, no, I mean, with we're going to be wrapping up here soon. So, it's, I mean, some final thoughts on where we see this stuff. I mean, we get together at these events. We're mainly a community that is an internet community that we have the opportunity a couple times a year to gather and actually meet people. I explain to people what Convergence and the conferences that go on. It's like a class reunion, basically, where you get these people who, you know, may only ever talk online, and then you see them in person, and you get to see that. You get that interaction in real time. Do you feel that... I just kind of got ram cracked myself here.
Basically, what you're saying is, right now, what we are, we're in the hotel. We have a microcosm of what we would like the world to be. We step outside the hotel. We take our badges off, and we're still afraid to admit to the world what we are, who we are. However, Gary and myself were downtown Houston today, wearing our badges, and we're asked, what are those for? We said, conference. Unfortunately, we did not elaborate.
Yeah.
But then again, he was homeless, so it didn't really matter. So,
oh, I did the same thing here in the hotel. Some people were asking what the event was. And I told them, but I left out the gay detail.
Do you mind me asking,
sure,
why did you choose... this particular hotel close to all these hospitals?
The hospital issue was not the big part of it. But
see, because I was fearing, because, you know, coming here, you know, whether, because, you know, you go into this hotel, and what do you think when you see all these big fat gay guys, but then you see the occasional family that's coming in that are so distraught because Emma Jo just got her iron lung, you know.
The reason why we picked this hotel, and we toured like six other hotels, the fact that all of the rooms are within 20 steps of the elevators, the fact that when you get off the elevators to go to either the reception hall or to the banquets or that, it's 50 steps. You know, you go to the swimming pool and it has stairs for you to climb in that are not the little rung ones they have on the side there. It's very fat
friendly. Yeah, they went fat friendly, which was a very good thing.
And they understand where they're coming from. When we went to the hotels and they showed us, you know, one of the things that impressed me with any is they print off our website, and so they know what type of stuff's coming in. And you go through and you think certain things. And we came into a hotel and we look at it differently than how anyone else might do. We walked in every hotel we walked into, and we got on an elevator. We had this kind of thing. Every one of us was kind of looking up and down the front of the front face of the elevator. And we had several of them ask, what are you doing? I said, we're looking for the weight classification on your elevator. And we did that to make sure, you know, this one here is 3,500. So we can pack it full of people. And that was another consideration we did, as looking into it. And, you know, the package of what some people is offering. The fact that it's in the medical center, I'll be honest, when we first looked at coming to here, we figured it was going to be outrageous. We couldn't afford it. And they worked a great deal. And that's why we came here. It's centrally located. You know, you can go... you know, right here's the metro rail. The medical part, like, is a nice part. We had a person a couple days ago who wasn't feeling well, and, you know, it's like, wanted to go to the emergency room. It's like, well, what's the best way, you know, to get to the hospital? I said, well, do you need an ambulance or can you walk a little? I said, well, I can walk. I was like, the middle of the streets are train. You know, for $2, you take it up two stops, and you've got Memorial Hermann Hospital. And it's a benefit for that, because, you know, we are talking about an issue with some people do have the health issues. We do have an older crowd at this event. You know, you're in a swimming pool, and, you know, it's difficult enough when you're in a swimming pool and you've got that buoyancy and you come out, the average size person comes out and, you know, is a little wobbly. You get someone who may have bad knees, you get out of that situation, it's difficult to move. And so there is a risk for injury. But actually, the hospital part,
The only part with it, the hospital influence had on here, is they've got some great rooms for disabled that they talked about. So, and that they're willing to work with people because they know they deal with people who do have those special issues that may have that. So it's one of those things that you have to look around and find where you're going to be. The last place where we had an event here in Houston, the hotel was thinking ahead more than us on some of these, and we actually brought some of those ideas into here. Like the latest fashion with in plumbing is using a commode that's hung off the studs in the wall. And there's no, you know, that way when they go and mop, they don't have to hit the basin there. It's easier to clean. Well, you try and use one of those facilities and you're a larger weight, you may not sure if it's going to hold. And so this other hotel that we were at said, we'll put a block underneath it. And I said, if that would be okay. And I said, yeah, that's perfect. You know, they were willing to take down the privacy barriers at the urinals so that a guy would have a little bit more room to come through. And that's the sort of thing you got to think of is, you know, just don't think, oh, my God, the fat asses are coming in. You know, like when we said at the banquet tables, you know, normally it's 10 seats to a table. Well, we told them 7 to that so that we have, you know, that little bit of elbow room to move in. And that's the thing you have to find is people who are accepting. I mean, there's that great resort down in Mexico that is very fat friendly. You know, extra strength hammocks, you know, larger beds, you know, sturdier beds. From what I saw on the show they did on Discovery, a nice looking masseuse.
I'm there.
On that, yeah. With, you know, a massage table on the beach that's a sturdier table to hold a bigger person. And that, and, you know, that's the big thing is being able to go to these, you know, I'm not going to go to Acapulco, you know, try and get a little Speedo and that. For that thing, I mean, they make glasses for, they make swim goggles for us. Honey, I wear a Speedo. I get the Speedo things there from Walmart. You just get the size too small and it just kind of sucks itself into its shape.
No, I'm scared.
Yes, you should. But, does anyone else have some final thoughts on what it is with our, with what we're here and that? Oh.
One thing I will say in deference to Houston, the homophobia I've met hasn't been from the gay community. I have to say that the times that I've gone out in Houston, I have to applaud the Houston gay and lesbian community. I don't think I've found many cities anywhere in the world that are as friendly and as warm. Superficial, yes, but that's part of who we are. That's part of our genre. Superficial in terms of what's going on. But I have to say, you go into a bar, or at least the bars I've been to, which... Can I name them, or is it okay? Okay. George, the Ripcord, which are the only two bars. I've been to one other over on Richmond. What was it called? Two. One was a piano bar, whatever. But extremely friendly gay community.
Yeah.
I have to commend you for that. It does make you feel very welcome.
Well, one thing is the Ripcord is the official. It's official now. Thursday, we hung our colors in the leather tradition that the Ripcord is the home bar of the Houston Big Men's Club. And we had a full ceremony, and we're part of the Houston Council of Clubs, which is a leather organization that basically keeps the Mardi Gras theme going for another weekend.
Oh, that's the Louis thing?
Louis. Yes, no, so we're associate members of Louis. And the fact that we had leather organizations that, when we went and did this event, coming out to support us and showing that we've been... members of the Houston Council of Clubs that puts on Louis for 2 years now. And, leather and drag organizations looking at a bunch of fat guys, and we've been very well accepted into that community. Yeah.
KPFT Houston.
Houston on the way back from Louisiana in 1980.
from Mardi Gras, and I told my friends, I'm moving to Texas next year, and I did. And it was because of Houston and the welcome that I felt. And I've always felt this at Houston. I mean, it went through some bad times there for a while, and it was pretty rough, but everybody survived it. And the gay community here is very accepting of everybody and every type of gay person. Some give attitude, but that's their problem, not mine. I can give it back if I want to. But I find this whole weekend very affirming and just I feel like with my family, and it's a real neat feeling. And since I started coming to them, I said, I will always go to them as long as they have one somewhere, you know, because of it. And we need that, and we get it here. We really do, you know.
Take the mic.
As gay men, and as gay men who are large, and we're on varying shapes and sizes here, one thing I do have to say, we have not only the right, but the responsibility that when someone does insult you or ostracize you or treats you in a manner that is not acceptable, we, all of us, have the right to hold a mirror in front of that person and make them accountable for his or her actions. You have that right and your power to do so.
I just prefer to run in their direction and slam them up against the wall.
You go, girl.
And my weight, it crushes a lot of bones.
Make him a little refund. You've been listening to I can't say it that way there, but I have to step aside. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web, kpft.org. We're wrapping up your discussion we've had with some of the members who are attending Convergence 2006 here in Houston.
Someone gave Dwayne the microphone again.
Yeah, that's always a mistake, isn't it?
Yes.
Especially one thing, actually, Josh made a good point. When he asked you about the hotel, mm-hmm. your choice of hotel, we had someone stop into the vendor's hall earlier today. Yeah. Did you hear the story, Chris?
The woman?
Yes.
I've heard a couple different stories. Yeah, this is a funny thing. We're on a third floor. It's kind of open. And, you know, we all have badges to get in. And then with being a gay man's event, you know, a woman kind of sticks out. You know. It's the smaller breast size, I think. Yeah.
At this event, yes, definitely the smaller breast size sticks out. But this woman walked in, and she was looking at the literature, she was checking things out, and she was asking some questions, and somebody said, why are you here? And she said, well, I'm interested for my husband. And they said, at that point, they said, you do know that this is a gay organization? And she said, oh, and ran for the door.
But then again, the night before, we had another woman who walked in and said, well, yeah, I still think my husband will be interested.
Yeah.
And then we do have some of our vendors here who produce videos for our genre. And so she walked over towards the one video that's running, and one of the producers said, you may not want to look at this, and, you know, you may not forget what you see. And she still had to look, you know.
I rode taxi two or three times this week because it's easier instead of driving, and I always sit in the front seat, which makes them ticked off because they have to move all their crap. And so I was riding with this one guy, and I had my badge on, and he says, what are you doing? And I told him, and I said, it's a big men's conference with admirers. And he said, what kind of admirers? I says, other men. He says, oh, tell me more. So I told him more, and then he said, is there one for heavy women and there are admirers? And I says, you know, I don't know, but I'll ask. And I found out tonight there is. And I said, you know, it would be neat at somewhere along the line that the women and the men had a joint conference together and confused everybody.
I mean, actually, there is...
Have they had it?
There is a national organization called the National Association for the Acceptance of Fat People. And, yeah, they had their national conference a month or so ago.
Really?
In Boston, I believe. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the, but that's, when you speak some of that, it's one of the things I always hate with us in our community. You know, in the straight community, if you like a fat woman, you know, you're looking for a BBW, big, beautiful woman. You know, if you're looking for a big gay man, if you're looking for a big man, it's, you know, a BHM, big, handsome man. And, you know, if you're attracted to them, you're a fat admirer. We get here to the gay community, what is it, you're chub or a chaser? You know, the only difference you can do is, you know, if you're really big, then you're super chubby. I haven't found that Superman costume yet.
That would look good on you.
Well, I had a coworker once. She said, "Well, I had a coworker once tell me this. She said, you know, I bet you run around your house there in a, you know, in Superman outfit, just trying to be cute." And I walked up to her later. I said, "I live alone. What makes you think I wear a costume?" And she was like, "No."
Yeah, I run around the house totally in the buff. You know, hey, I'll be the first to admit it. Even in Wyoming, I walk out of my back porch. You know, only one that ever sees me are the elk. I think one's the chubby chaser. He's a big buck.
I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, I was saying with the, you know, this kind of growth I've had in the, I can't say growth there, I've been losing weight. This kind of ride I've been on for the past, you know, 3 years with being a part of the community is that, you know, and I've told the story to, quite a few times on there, you know, 4 years ago when I went to take a shower, I waited until I got in front of the toilet to take off my shirt because I didn't want to see myself in the mirror.
I'm getting that way too.
And it was meeting somebody. He's not here right now. He was here earlier, so I'll wait till now to embarrass him. Who?
I know who it was.
Duh. who got me to accept who I was, and that I would, you know, that someone could be attracted to me, and that I could, you know, feel that way about myself. So now I've gone from a point where, you know, 4 years ago I was scared about that stuff to now. Yeah, you know, I don't know how I house my underwear. If that, you know, because I'm comfortable now with the self that I'm in. It's like, and I guess the best way to describe it is from the movie and the play Love, Valor, and Compassion. Mm-hmm. Love me, love my love handles. Although when I talk about love handles, I usually am referring to ears.
Click on my ears, I know what I'm doing.
But no, the fact is that you have to learn first to accept yourself. Uh-huh. And then, you know, find the other way of getting into that. Okay.
This is the first kind of, you know, any event that I've been to. And I found, like you just said, you found somebody that gave you the confidence to just be okay with yourself. And, you know, this is something that I'm, you know, I'm 26 years old. I've known that I'm gay for a long time. But never really accepted myself. Just kind of, like you, just didn't want to look at myself in the mirror. That kind of thing. But, you know, coming to this kind of event where there's, you know, it's just very open, just nice people, just making you feel better. You know, you're accepting of yourself. And this kind of event's just really cool for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part about this is the fact that, you know, you can come to something like this and you can meet someone who either understands where you're coming from or loves you for who you are, and you don't have to worry about, you know, the stigma, the, you know, what's going to happen in that. Even if it's, you know, just for someone you know for 3 days, or you talk for later, or, you know, who knows if something happens more about it. It's having an opportunity to, you know, to be accepted and, you know, go around with people. And the most liberating thing I think you can have at one of these events is when we have the pool party. And the fact that some guy can go swimming without a shirt
I mean, the first time, with the big men's clubs here, the first time I ever went swimming in my life without wearing a shirt was at a private pool party hosted by one of our members. Let's see, I was 32 at the time.
You're not much older than that now.
I'm 34 now. I'm new to the community. My friend who, you know, got me to start accepting myself, he brought me into the Big Men's Society. And so I've only, you know, I've been accepting of who I am as a gay chub for 4 years. So, you know, so I was experiencing a lot of things at 30 that, you know, most people were experiencing at 18. You know, dating, trying to meet somebody, just screwing around. You know, so, you know, I had this late thing in life on that I didn't accept that.
I mean, I was going to say the exact same thing as you. You know, growing up, went to the pool, always kept my shirt on, long, you know, swim trunks, just kind of covering as much of myself as I can. Here, first time I've ever been in a pool with my shirt off. You know, just very different, just being okay with myself.
Yeah, I mean, okay, with me, I'll even admit, I go to the bathhouse here sometimes. It's been a while.
I have,
and you know, and I mean, they've got the regular size towels and they got the big girl towels. I had to go out and get a bigger big girl towel made. Had two.
Chubby knife, like they do in the spa or the place they. And there was a bathhouse in L.A. Does anyone remember the name of it? It's in a town. It is, and they used to have a chub men's night on. That's
yeah.
It. Bears and Bellies. Why don't they do that here in Houston? I mean, the place would be enormously
The Houston
friendly.
Area Bears had a monthly social that they were doing there for a while. We haven't really looked at that here in Houston, basically because our club is set up as a social organization. Mm-hmm. We don't get into the naughtiness. So to speak, it's part of basically what happened is the organization before us dissolved because of sex issues. So we shy away from that a little bit to keep it together. But no, we do. I mean, I found out today. I mean, we were originally going to be talking to them about putting in a coupon for our event, and somebody said they were here for this. And if they would have told us, we would have worked with them on something. And we have two bathhouses here in Houston. One is a lot more friendlier to the bigger guys than the other one. Midtown.
It's friendlier than the club baths.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, like I said, that's the one where they have a bear night. Yeah. It's something to be working on. It's one of those things you have to move into a little bit further with, you know, it's of accepting where you're at. I mean, that was a big step, you know, doing that. I did drag tonight for the second time in my life.
You were gorgeous.
Our scary drag. We brought back the Show of Shows skit we did at for Louis. God, that's the longest 10 minutes of our lives.
But you loved every minute of it, didn't you?
Oh, we did. I mean, when we started off with doing that routine and talking about it, it was like, we're going to do what? And we had so, you know, it was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And then all of a sudden when we started working at it and it came together and then the reaction, you know, I could expect that kind of reaction, you know, well, let's see, four fat guys in dresses and one skinny one in dress. I can expect the kind of reaction we had here. When you do that in front of a bunch of leather people, when you have the court system, you know, we have two courts here in Houston, the drag courts. And they're looking at it like, what? You know, that you're able to do something like that. And, you know, the fact that, you know, we did this routine that wasn't poking fun at us for being large people. It kind of embraced it. You know, we scared off the skinny little Barbie girl at the beginning. And, you know, that sort of thing. And
very scandalous. But the entire routine was absolutely phenomenal. I loved every second of it.
Kippy is our coordinator on that.
It wasn't a Vera Wang.
No, it's an eBay.
I love that Ann Richards big hair thing she had going. It was great.
Well, that's new for this. The first time that Kippy did that, he was actually wearing the dress that Glenn was wearing.
Oh, really?
the younger of our Kafka wearing Ms. Mona's girls. But, because, I mean, one thing you have with this event of what we're doing is, you know, tomorrow we're having a Chub Chaser contest.
Oh, really?
That you, so that, you know, the fact that people would think, you know, a large person could be beautiful for this, you know, to do this sort of thing. You know, it's an unusual thing to, you know, crown someone as, you know, we find this person attractive and they're a large person.
They do that contest every year at every convergence, and I've seen quite a few of those contests, and fortunately the person who wins changes every year, which is very cool thing.
Like the cutest chub, cutest chaser, or something like
what
that.
What it is
do I have to go out to Lane Bryant before I come here tomorrow?
No.
Well, Rochester 10 nodding.
You show up. And, I mean, it's just, you know. Do a little dance. You dance for the judge, the panel of judges. You know, okay. I'm the reigning King Chub here in Houston. I won the title at ECC.
And you wear your crown so well.
They laugh. You know, that was a paper. It's a paper and felt crown that they got at one of the stores because the fancier ones they got didn't fit. It's sitting in a wicker box in my house to keep it. Protected. As far as I know, King Chaser still has his that he won there, and his parents don't know he's gay. He explained to the crowd that he went to Houston, he got entered in some dance contest, and he won. Didn't say nothing about the fact that it was a Chub Chaser contest. You just have fun with it. I went up there, and I walked up, and I go, okay, I'm the local guy hosting the event. If I win, it's going to look funny, so I have to do something over the top. I walked up to the three judges, and right before I got to them, I turned around and laid across all their laps. And just basically, hands over my head, you know, I'm a buffet, and then after, as like I'm walking up there going, okay, if I do this, are the chairs going to hold? Am I going to flip them backwards? And then after I got down there, it's like, how much of a dismount am I going to do for this? I'm going to start stretching it out. But, I mean, it's just to have fun, you know. MCA, I didn't see what happened at MCA. All I know is at one point it involved barbecue sauce. And Miss BBQ was somewhere around here at our event, so... We've banned the barbecue sauce from our event here.
What about chocolate sauce? Is that still acceptable?
Probably. The barbecue was just the people who saw the people who actually saw the barbecue sauce in act are still in recovery. A little bit of trauma.
What about spaghetti sauce?
Yeah. Rudy's not. He was a witness to it.
No.
It was bad.
He's still traumatized. He's afraid to speak.
Yeah, try and get him down the condiment aisle right now. You know, he curls. He gets all fetal. He's in the shakes there, you know. Knocked over the mayonnaise. It was not pretty. But.
Deli when this is over. I'm getting hungry.
And we won't go there.
I have a huge Suburban. It'll seat 7. Let's go.
Well, you know, we're talking about Cats and Jelly. The joke I made when they first opened up was, you know, now another place where you can get a Reuben for $20 in the Montrose.
Yes.
So we're going to wrap it up here and kick it back to the studio. I'm not sure if they're doing music, if they're going to be doing what else, but you've been listening to...
audience, if you want the music.
Yeah. Huh? Speak.
He's inviting them to eat with us.
And
oh.
Unless the audience want to see what we really look like, we will be...
It's right around the corner from the studio. It's right around the corner from the studio.
That's right. I love it.
Yes.
I love it. I love it.
No, it's better than what, you know. Jimmy goes, love it. L-O-V-E-T-T. Love T-T. But... Yeah, we're a twisted group. But you've been listening to After Hours News and Views Special. This is from Convergence 2006. And I'm going to put on music we've got here. Once again, we're going to be playing some music from the DJ here of Convergence 2006. They're DJ BC, otherwise known as Michael. This is his mix of Tattoo, you know, the alleged lesbian Russian girls. Friend or Foe. Kick it back to Jimmy in the studio, and I will be back next week. Good night.
Oh, yes, we can see it.
Hey. Janis Joplin with Cosmic Blues off of the I Got Them Old Cosmic Blues Again Mama CD. And before that was Scissor Sisters with Filthy Gorgeous, kind of a tribute to the Big Men's Club, holding Convergence. I hope you enjoyed that. That was kind of fun. We don't usually get to do live remotes very often, but when we do, it's an event. It's an event. And now we've got time for a small round table.
Okay.
Who have we got in here?
Let's see. We got David. And we got David. And who are you?
I'm Andy.
Hello.
Glad to be on the air.
Thank you.
And I'm Robin.
Okay. Something that's going on that's going to be a big change in the Houston GLBT community is that The Voice this week has announced that they are going from a weekly publication to a monthly publication. They will be doing more online things, but as of the middle of this month, Houston will no longer have a weekly publication for the GLBT community. I'd like to get your thoughts on this and how you think that's going to affect us. Is it a surprise to everybody?
Because they're not all at once here. My initial reaction is that I really do not read the Houston Voice that often.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to be more of an Outsmart fan.
Okay, which is a monthly publication.
Right.
And we've got lots of great monthlies.
Yeah. So I assume, you know, first question, of course, would be, you know, why are they doing this? You know, they're... You know, circulation maybe down a little bit, and they're having to maybe do a little cost cutting, or is it maybe they can spend more time producing a bigger monthly compared to a weekly?
Actually, it's going to be smaller.
Okay.
I saw the prototype. It's a little bit bigger than the Twit, and about the same number of pages they have now.
Well.
It's just glossy.
Okay.
So, the thing of it is that it was the only news source, even though a lot of what they printed was press releases or news sources, news items from other sources. I just wonder what's happening in our community that, or maybe this is what should be happening in our community. Maybe with the advent of computers, most of our stuff is going to be online now. But then again, not all of our community is online.
Right. When I think about things like this, about how the community communicates with itself, newspapers, I have to kind of hold in perspective because where I come from, you know, I call myself bisexual. So my general lifestyle is, you know, still kind of quote-unquote straight.
Sure.
And, you know, I am involved in a couple of gay men's groups and obviously here on the radio.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm not involved in clubs or the courts or stuff like that. So I just don't pay attention that much to some of these things because it's just not part of, you know, my daily life what I find myself having to deal with. And so to me, I'm still... Yeah, so, you know, kind of quick story here. A few years ago, when I started seriously exploring my bisexuality, you know, exploring this new identity, self-identity, I had an experience where I'm listening to this show one night and just had this realization that I was no longer an outside observer. I was a participant.
Ah.
And it kind of put me in a slight bit of shock. Like, uh-oh. You know, there goes that, you know, self-image of, you know, like I said, it's like, okay, the issues that gay men may have to deal with, I now have to deal with, at least to some degree. And so, but at the same time, like I said, it's something I'm aware of, I don't really participate directly in. And it's not, you know, it's not good or bad, whatever, just where I'm coming from. So it's hard for me to say, you know, is this a good or a bad thing? Because, like I said, I don't really, traditionally, I've never really read that paper that often.
Robin?
The times I've read, yeah, it was good, but just, it's not been a strong attraction to me.
Well, I read it every now and then, but, I mean, I could see it's going to make a big difference because of I don't know the lack of information in it. Well, it depends what information they put in and what they keep out and what they put in. It makes a big difference.
I think there's an immediacy that we're going to be losing.
Right.
Because events that are happening in the following week probably won't get the publicity. When there's a big difference between a monthly and a weekly, especially in events. You have to know about events a long time ahead of time. And in our community, sometimes, unless it's something really huge, events just kind of pop up now and then.
And just thinking again, question about, is there still a need for this paper? And again, I gotta say, you know, be honest about where I come from, that I'm a member of the community, but I'm not in depth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think back, but, you know, I've been, like I said, at very minimum, I've been an observer, you know, until I've started to realize there's more to this observing. But there is the community, the needs have changed over time.
Yeah.
There was time where just the fact that we're out at all was a big deal. And, you know, kind of wondering, you know, watching over backs, make sure, you know, there's not somebody out to come at us with a baseball bat.
We still have to worry about
right,
that.
Right, still there. But at the same time, there still is some thing the community's been evolving. So it's always a question, there's still a need, but is there that much?
I think it is, because there's so much, now that we're all out, there's so much stuff that's, it's kind of like, I read the African-American paper,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, well, why did he need that? I mean, it's like, because there's so much diversity in the African-American community. It's a lot of different things going on. It's not just one issue. Same thing with gays and lesbians and transgenders, bis. It's not just, one type of gay. It's like, you know, you got the cross-dressers, and then you have
mm-hmm.
You have, like, the bars, and then you have, like, festivals, and you have, like, meetings, coming out groups. You know, it's just so much stuff to talk about. It ain't just one thing.
True.
You get in there, and you realize, oh, my goodness, this is a whole, like, a grocery store full of stuff.
Yeah. Andy?
Yes, I have to agree with Robin there, because it's more of a proactive approach in how we deliver information in any community. There's so much information that sometimes becomes a information overload for a lot of us, and there are all those out there who are computer illiterate or computer challenged or information challenged,
mm-hmm.
and it just sometimes people like to have something tangible that they can read on their own time in their own way. Now, if this is a way to force people to just move more into the information technology mainstream, then I think it segregates us. It's more being undiverse, if you will, because it then segregates out certain populations due to socioeconomics,
yep.
or it could be any means. For example, people are visual. Okay, fine, yes, you can look at a computer screen, but sometimes people like to have something that they can carry with them to
mm-hmm.
reference or what have you.
Yeah, you got people that just like to, like, read the paper, and it's just a habit for them. And then you got people like me that don't really own a computer, and I'm just learning to get around a computer, so having a newspaper, it makes it a lot easier for me to get information. Sometimes I prefer to read it on paper than to having to go on a computer.
Well, not everybody has access to a computer all the time.
That's right.
And with a newspaper, magazine, or what have you, in a tangible format, you can take that with you and let others know. Because, you know, everybody wants information immediately, tying in with the instant gratification these days. Well, not everybody is like that. It's all about conformity now.
I remember 20 years ago that the publications were mostly weekly.
Mm.
The Voice, The Twit, and a few others that came and went. And at one point, about 20 years ago, the Houston Voice tried to go daily.
Okay.
And that lasted about 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a little bit too much work there.
They found that they didn't have the circulation, they didn't have the need for something daily. But here, 20 years later, we're going in the opposite direction. And it may be because so many of us are on computer now. I know it being in different 501c3 organizations, you almost have to have a computer to keep up. I'm on the boards of two different 501c3 organizations, and there's an amazing amount of work that we do online as board members. And that includes not only planning, but voting on different things, new rules and regulations, whether we want to spend money for this and that. Because there is this immediacy, and things happen faster, and there's just more work than a monthly board meeting can cover.
Right.
So is that the future? Will we be just going online to the Houston Voice to see what they're... Because I understand that it's going to be... It take less people to put more information out if you're online.
Right.
You can get these news stories and put them out there.
Yeah, like I said, it's a downside to everything. It's a downside to computers and downside to paper.
I realize,
The upside is what's really keeping everything going.
With the newspaper, you've got, you just have a lot of labor involved in getting that piece of paper or paper edition out to the public. Now,
well, there's an upside to that because a lot of times it gives more jobs, especially with the situation that I'm seeing that's surrounding me and the way I live at and everything. There's hardly any jobs, and so the paper thing kind of works because it gives more jobs. It gives somebody a job.
But evidently,
so that's an upside to that.
Evidently,
so,
our community isn't supporting that. To keep it going.
Right. And some people, you got a lot of people that's from other countries, like Mexico and stuff, that they are dyslexic, so they can't read.
Yeah.
They barely can read their own language. And so going learning how to run computers is harder for some people. So some people just don't get into that stuff. Some people just into something else.
I think that's where part of what Andy was saying.
That's the upside to late. I mean, I'm an artist, and I make comic books and stuff, and I kind of hate that they don't do that stuff by hand anymore, because to me that's fun to do it by hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the computer. And to me it seems like once it's finished, it makes me feel good, because it's like, this is my work, and it's work. You know, it's a work of art. And to when it's on a computer, it's like the computer did it for me or something. That doesn't feel satisfying as it was I physically did it myself.
Okay, David over here, I know that you read The Voice weekly.
Right, I bring The Voice here to the station, and I do read it weekly for current events that are current and up to date.
So how this is going to affect you?
I think basically it will, people that do need it for current events, they will miss that.
Sure.
But yet they will be able to see it on the computer. Now, if I'm going to go out, let's say, to a bar or something, I wouldn't be looking to The Voice. I'd be looking to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But now, a lot of publications are changing. And another one that is changing is The Guide. That is going to be changed. That has things from all over the United States and foreign countries. And it is changing its format, too.
Oh, what's it going to?
It's having a new owner.
Mm-hmm.
The present owner is going to be retiring, and the whole outlook of it is going to be different front and everything.
Wow.
And just thinking of, and this is an issue I'll sometimes have, you know, anytime we're dealing with some groups or having to deal with, you know, struggles and, you know, getting their living the lives they want to live and all that, that I definitely promote this myself. You know, this is things I sometimes struggle with, being more proactive.
Mm-hmm.
something we as a community have been successful in coming more out, being more accepted in a larger society, creating a place for ourselves. And I think it's also possible we could become a victim of our own success if we get complacent about it.
Yes.
There's still a need. Just like to make the comment about, you know, watching on your back for some guy chasing after you and saying that can still happen. Yes. Therefore, there's still that need.
Well, as somebody who is on the computer, and I'm on Lone Star Activist, which is right. Which is a gay activist group, mm-hmm. and some other groups, different 501c3 organizations, right. and involved in that. I've noticed that much of what I have been reading in The Voice lately is stuff I've already read online.
Okay.
It's, you know, whatever's in there, I already know about it, because I've read it already. There's very little that's a surprise to me in there. Hmm. So, for me, it's not going to be that much of a change, except the nostalgic part of having that publication around to pick up right. for any number of reasons. Huh. I know that... like in the Twit, I'll look in the back of the Twit to look up an organization.
All right.
That's kind of what I'm used to, and now maybe I'll need to go online or something to do that. Or maybe I'll find myself going online to the New Houston Voice website to check things out. Or maybe I'll check that once a week or right. twice a week and see what's going on there. I don't know. But I still feel that a lot of our community is going to be left out.
Yeah, could be.
Seems like we're losing so much.
It seems like we're losing so much. We mm-hmm. are only gay bookstore Lobo. We lost that.
Yep.
Mm. You know, and it just seems like, you know, that's the most recent thing in mind. But it just seems like we're dropping things just one by one.
Yeah, I know. I know. Once the big boys got involved in gay literature and gave that kind of put the squeeze on the little local gay and lesbian bookstore.
Yeah, what really bothers me too is that there's not a lot of lesbian stuff
no.
that should be circulating.
And that's the other problem, because you go to the big ones now and they have a very small
selection.
Right. You have to go to NIAID Press or even Amazon.com, and it's hard to know what's coming out.
And another thing I like to see more of is African American views on gay. Like mm-hmm. I would like to see that a lot more information on. I remember they had a magazine that was kind of like the Twit that was for African Americans, and it was out for a while, but then and it was only place I could find it was at the club called Rascals. It was the only place I could find this publication.
Mm-hmm.
Any other all the other places, they didn't have them.
Well, Robin, now that you're involved in radio, maybe it's going to be up to you
yeah.
to do that.
All right. Are you up to it?
We're trying to make a publication?
Yeah.
Or just get some information out there.
Yeah, I mean,
not even make a publication, but just come on the radio and talk about those issues.
Yeah, because I noticed that all of the clubs out in this area, there's only one that I know of that's African American
mm-hmm.
related. All the other clubs were mainly Anglo.
Yeah.
And I would like to see, you know, Hispanic clubs and clubs for African, you know, more diversity sure. in the gay community. You don't see that, Holly.
Hmm. It's been my experience, though, that there's been very few GLBT clubs for black folks that have ever been advertised in the gay press. It's usually kind of a word of mouth thing that gay people, gay black people, know about different clubs, but it's only by word of mouth.
And if you usually have a gay club that's African American, usually they're not in the general area. They're going to be somewhere outside
right.
the loop. And I'm like, this is a gay GLBT community. It should be for not just you know, for gay people, it should be everybody, because gay doesn't discriminate. There's so many people that are gay that are different races.
Well, but look at the Latino community. Mm-hmm. The clubs are in the Southwest.
Yeah, area. Right. I love to see Latini. I would like to see a lot more. See, the thing of it is, a lot of black people don't go to the clubs because of music and the culture. It's just different culture, and we just listen to different music and stuff. So it ain't that they don't like it. It's just that's not what they relating to. It doesn't relate to them.
And if there's a club for gay Asians, I don't even know about it.
And there you go.
That would be cool. That, I'd like to see it.
That'd be cool,
I've been
too.
To clubs.
Yeah.
I'd be interested.
Yeah.
Where
do white gay Asians go? You know?
That brings up the issue again. Are we integrating or are we segregating?
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
And,
yeah.
You know, I've seen it happen with the white and the black mm-hmm. gay communities, and I have been watching it happen more and more with Hispanic right. and Latino communities. So I hate to see that happen with the Asian community.
Because, you know, like Robin brought up the issue of, you know, when you're GLBT, I mean, that's a diverse group, but yet we don't discriminate. We shouldn't.
But we do. There's gays in every race in
of
the
course,
world.
Of course. So
why is only just the Anglos have a gay area?
Well,
why can't it be diverse? Like
I think
mixed?
It's part of being in a big city. And when you're in a big city, well, when you're in a big small town, smaller city, there may be one or two gay bars and everybody goes to it because there's only one or two.
Hmm.
The bigger the city, the more gay clubs and the more, you know, you have, right now, you've got like JR's for the preppies and you've got the Ripcord for the leather and you've got, you know, on and on, and BRB for the country and western and,
yeah.
you know, you diversify way.
I like that. I like the leather clubs and the JR. The only problem that I have is like JR people don't like EJs. And EJs think that JR people are stuck up, and the JR people think EJ people are trash. It's like,
isn't that what we're talking about?
It's the same thing.
Yep.
Isn't that discrimination?
A couple weeks ago, I walked past this new club that just opened up, and they had this bouncer. I mean, he was a hot looking gay black gay man, and he was telling me about the club, and I said, "Oh, I've been to the Martinis, you know." And they when it was Roscoe's going there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't go there. Oh, they ghetto. And I'm like looking at this guy. I'm like, they're what? You know, it's like I'm too uppity for those people. They're ghetto. It's like they're black. To me, they're just black people. And it's just a culture, you know. So it just blows me away how it's
we ghettoize ourselves.
I mean,
we like to be around people like us and who like the same things we like.
It's
interaction with the cause. It's interaction.
Yes.
Being a part of a family.
That's one thing I never did. I can go in a hole in a wall and fit right in, and then I can go to places like jail. I've been to places where you had to dress up.
I like
if
that.
If you wasn't wearing, you wasn't dressed up, you couldn't get in there.
That's why I like the Montrose.
And I'm like,
I've always liked the Montrose because it's a cross section of everybody.
Everybody loves it.
And I don't look down on nobody, and I don't think anybody's hurt. Older than me, so I think maybe that's the way I was raised. I don't know, but when I see that, it's like, how do you look down on some other people and you're the same common ground?
I know.
Well, that brings back to the issue of publication here. Okay,
mm-hmm.
There's a diverse media publications out there, or you can get it in any type of format. That's great. That's fine. Okay, how easy is it to access the information and the publications is another question. I mean, sometimes with publications that you can go to a restaurant, a cafe, or a bar to get, that's fine because that's how some people have to do it, to get the information. But sometimes if you say, well, it's easier to print it out, yeah, well, I don't have a computer to print it out, or I can't do this at the certain time because I'm either not out of the closet or I'm not comfortable with having such.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And that's one of the problems, is not everybody has a computer, and those that do have a computer might not have a printer.
Mm-hmm.
And or they may not be able to afford the ink, paper, whatever. That's one of the issues that I see that's running into.
Yeah. Well, monthly, what if you're out of town or you're not even in the country? How can you access current events? Well, yes, you can use a computer.
Mm-hmm.
But what if, you know, in certain countries, you can't get to a computer? What happens?
What your SOL.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. and I'm thinking of people coming into Houston. Mm. Who want to find out what's going on this week.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. It's like when I come in, I always pick up Voice and the other array of magazines mm-hmm. when I'm here, because I live so far out of Houston, it's not funny, but it gives me an idea of what's coming up the next week. Now, I feel like I'm going to be losing that ability. Yeah.
Well, I say that there's you know, we do have a weekly publication, which is the New Twit. Right. However, it comes out of San Antonio.
Okay.
So it's San Antonio heavy.
It's not local. Yeah.
There's very little local stuff going on. Very little Houston stuff going on in the Twit.
And I noticed, like, the Twit is mostly like clubs and stuff like that. In the Houston Voice, it was more like everything. Like,
yeah.
It could be a festival going on, or they having a meeting about some, you know, it's just different things that they talk about. It's not just club scene.
Well, in many communities, you have different age groups and gender groups, fine. And not everybody is wanting to know about current events dealing with clubs and the bars. What if there are other venues to do activities such as, okay, there's art, there's stage, etc.?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, is this another ground for a different type of advertisement?
Yeah.
Is that all we're focusing on? Or?
Folks, we got to wrap it up.
All right.
I just see that we've got like 40 seconds left. Ouch!
Oops.
Ouch!
Okay.
All righty.
So, you've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on good old listener-sponsored Pacifica Station KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, and KPFT Galveston at 89.5 FM. I'm Jimmy Carper, and with me has been the Roundtable folks. Tune in next week. We've got, what have we got next week? We've got the Hatch folks coming in.
Right. Oh, wonderful.
And
the free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.